AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. His politics didn't please everyone, but his personality did. Admirers are placing tributes to former President Ronald Reagan outside the Reagan Library in California. NBC's Mark Mullen says Nancy Reagan was on hand as her husband's body was moved from the funeral home.
In another round of applause, Mrs. Reagan stopping to wave and acknowledge the public, which was so much a part of their lives for so many years.
Mr. Reagan's body will be flown to Washington, D.C. later this year, and there will be a funeral service on Friday. Current and former leaders from all across the globe will attend. U.S. financial markets and most of the federal government will be closed in tribute. There's no independent confirmation, but a new statement warning of more terrorist attacks appears to come from Al-Qaeda operatives in Saudi Arabia. The message says foreign airlines are a likely target. American diplomats at the U.N. are introducing a fourth version of a proposed resolution on Iraq, the U.S. looking for more international help. Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
There are countless reasons to love a Jaguar.
The machine of a dream.
And now, thanks to astonishing lease and finance offers, you can enjoy that reason which is most satisfying. The ability to look every envious driver in the eye and say, that's my Jag. Visit your local Jaguar retailer so that you too can say, that's my Jag.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 93 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Fire danger in the state is high. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Two problems on the freeways, one on either end of town. The first is an accident with injuries southbound I-225 south of Yosemite. The other one is a tractor-trailer that caught fire about a half an hour ago. Eastbound I-70 approaching Youngfield Street. That situation should just about be taken care of now. Everything on the freeways is looking decent aside from those two things. Everything on the side streets looks pretty good, too. A couple of minor scrapes, though, one at Federal and Evans, another one at 14th and Clarkson. Tyson Foods with the information. Family meal tonight, if you are going to do that, look for Tyson fully cooked beef roast, hickory smoked bacon, and chicken nuggets at your neighborhood grocer. Great tasting, high quality. Look for Tyson products in the bright red packaging. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The temperatures are high, the humidity low. That lethal 1-2 punch translates into fire danger, as we hear from Boulder Fire Manager Justin Dombrowski.
Really depends on what area you're in, but on the Front Range of Colorado, it's starting to get worse. We're starting to see fires that are actually getting a little bit larger than they were last week. And so these hot and high temperatures are really going to start making things worse across Colorado.
Dombrowski says now's the time for residents in fire-prone areas to meet with neighbors and their local fire districts to develop evacuation schemes and ways to make their homes as safe as possible. This report brought to you by tonight's Franklin Graham television special. Denver police are warning that with the hot nights ahead, people should be careful about leaving windows open at night. They say place an object next to the window so it can't be opened more than a crack. This evening, the Denver City Council expected to approve that $1.3 million settlement between the City of Denver and the family of Paul Childs, the developmentally disabled teen who was shot and killed last summer by a Denver police officer. Officer James Turney is on a 10-month unpaid suspension. In sports, the Colorado Rockies wrap up their four-game series with the San Francisco Giants this afternoon at Coors Field. Rocks send out Sean Estes and his 6-3 record. Tired of just surviving life? Then you won't want to miss Franklin Graham's message of hope for your stressed-out soul tonight on Denver 7 at 9 p.m. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcaro.com.
Your summer passport for news and information. Identification, please.
Where talk happens. AM 1150 KNRC.
Enjoy your summer.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It is going to be windy and H.O.T. hot ahead of a cold front poised to the north of us. We should get near record high temperatures, right around 100 today, 59 for the low tonight, 85 tomorrow. And by Wednesday, with the front close, we should see some thunderstorms with a high of 84. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
93 degrees under mostly sunny skies. KNRC News Time is 12:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
Well, Enid Goldstein is not going to be with you today. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid. Enid is on vacation for the week, and so I'll be joining you part of the week. We've got some other guest hosts that will be joining us as well later on this week. And it was really nice to hear Enid do the extra special show on Saturday, the day that Ronald Reagan passed. She was actually out at the Book Expo, and she and Joe Anderson came back today, and he looks no worse for wear, and Enid's taking the next week off, and then we'll join all of you a week from today. But I'm really glad that you joined me today for lunch on AM 1150 KNRC, because it really is a special day in our country's history. It is a day that we're all back at work, but we're really reflecting together on a great man, Ronald Reagan, a man that has made a lot of impact in my life. And I'll talk a little bit about that later, but I wanted to go to the hotline. We've got a special guest. We've managed to track down managing editor John Meacham from Newsweek magazine. I'm sure I hope I pronounced the last name right, because, you know, I did an email when I suggested it this morning, and so I haven't actually talked to anybody about this one. So I'm hoping it's Meacham, but we're going to embarrass myself here directly as we go to John on the hotline here at AM 1150 KNRC. John, hello, how are you?
It was a very impressively pronounced.
Oh, good, thank you. So it is Meacham?
It is Meacham.
Oh, good, I was making a guess.
As Reagan would say to Mondale, I won't hold your age and experience again.
Good, that was one of the best lines, wasn't it, as far as a campaign?
You know, and what of course, typical Reagan, you know, he managed to absolutely diffuse a serious, substantive issue with humor.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did that over and over and over again.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. It's a important week and a bittersweet one, I think, because I think we all feel both sadness for Mrs. Reagan for losing the great love of the last half century, and also, I'm sure you have people in your life or connected to your life who have had to cope with Alzheimer's, and to some extent, having the long goodbye, as Mrs. Reagan called it, ending, is in some ways a mercy.
Yeah, it really is, and I do have friends who have gone through the Alzheimer's situation, and it's very cruel, because I saw an interview with Mrs. Reagan yesterday, and she talked about how there was a point in Ronald's life where the spark was out of his eyes, where you could tell for a while with the disease that he was battling and trying to put the pieces together every day and make sure that there still was a semblance of normality. And then she said, you know, it came, you know, after the course of a weekend where the next week the spark wasn't there. And you knew that for all intents and purposes that he was gone. I mean, he was still there. There was still the interaction, but he wasn't the same man.
Right.
And that's hard. That is really hard. Well, tell me a little bit, John, what your magazine Newsweek is doing this week to commemorate Ronald Reagan.
Well, we have out on the stands today with that wonderful picture from 1980 of the president the candidate at that point in a cowboy hat, looking as sunny and optimistic as he can. I think of that as the Reagan equivalent of the Karsh portrait of Churchill, where a picture tells you everything. And then I actually wrote good Lord, about a 7,000-word essay about him and what I think made him tick and what he meant to all of us. Incredibly enigmatic figure, like many, many great leaders. But you know, here you have a man who was a captivating charmer, yet had very few close friends. You have a man who was an absolute hardline, hawkish Cold Warrior, yet he's the one who ended the Cold War. You have a man who was a fiscal conservative to his bone, yet never proposed a balanced budget. And sort of how he lived with these contradictions, and really, I think his gift to us, and I think we, you know, he always had a great sense of timing. I mean, to die on D-Day minus one, which reminds all of us, I think, of that wonderful 1984 event where he said, these are the boys of Puente Ho, these are the men who took the cliffs. Yeah. He really gave us a kind of freedom. It was a freedom, in my view, from self-doubt and from embarrassment about our power and about our strength, and very specifically, freedom from the Soviet threat, which, you know, just the day before yesterday when we had the possibility of genuine Armageddon, and now we're living with a threat, and, it could be nuclear, but at least it's not as organized and frozen into a standoff.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we're talking with managing editor John Meacham with Newsweek magazine, and he has a piece in this week's cover story, Ronald Reagan, 1911 to 2004. Kind of shocked me when I saw it. 1911 at first.
Yeah.
I went, wow, he has been around a while. Now, we're just talking, you were speaking a minute ago about the face-off with the Soviet Union and the Cold War. Do you think anybody else could have sat across the table from Gorbachev and handled it so well?
I honestly don't, because in some ways Reagan made Gorbachev possible, and in some ways Gorbachev made Reagan possible. It was the Soviets had a choice, a turning point in when they'd lost. I think Chernenko, wasn't it?
I think
remember
so.
Reagan's great line: "I'd love to meet with the Soviet premier, but they keep dying." On
yeah.
I think he had Brezhnev, Chernenko, and Andropov. And Gorbachev was the reformist candidate. And so they had a choice between a man called Romanov, who was going to be another hardliner, and Gorbachev. And I think the Politburo looked across the sea and saw this amazingly strong man who was building up America's defenses at a great clip, and said, you know, let's try another way here just to see what happens. And Gorbachev had the imagination to reach out to Reagan. Reagan had the imagination to reach out to Gorbachev. And he really always believed, in the same way Franklin Roosevelt always believed, in the power of personal persuasion, the power that he could change history. And it was a fundamental, almost theological belief with him, that we're all God's creatures and we have a certain destiny. And I think it's no accident that his first great role was as a lifeguard on the Rock River in Dixon, Illinois, saved 77 lives. And in many ways, his whole life was about playing a heroic role in the pure sense of that, not playing, play acting, but
yeah,
filling a role.
Now, what do you think is Reagan's legacy? I mean, when we're, you know, years from now, when the history books are written, when we have, you know, the short, all too brief chapter,
right,
and everybody's studying the presidency of Ronald Reagan, what do you think his legacy is going to be? What's going to be written about him in those books?
I think it's going to be granting Americans, after a period of terrible self-doubt and domestic strife. Remember, we had Dallas in 1963, we had the riots, we had Vietnam, we had Watergate, we had gas lines, and then along comes this nearly 70-year-old son of an alcoholic who had a certain kind of momentum to his life, remarkably so, given that he was born as far away from the center of power as one could be in obscurity in Illinois. And he believed that anything was possible. And it's interesting, there's no reason for him not to believe that, because everything was possible in his life.
Oh, yeah.
He actually said, you know, America's too great to limit itself to small dreams in his first inaugural. And so I think that he will get credit for restoring a sense of pride and, again, a kind of comfort with our power, that we didn't need to be embarrassed or apologize for being strong, but instead we needed to harness that strength for the cause of freedom. And he did that remarkably well.
He did really well. And I think that he, you know, he was the man that had to stand up that really, in my mind, epitomized the idea of a president. Strangely enough, when I, you know, was walking around the office and talking to a number of people, I was shocked as to how many people, when I say, okay, close your eyes and imagine what the president should look like, how many of them say, well, I start off with a picture of Ronald Reagan and then just adjust from there based on what I want.
Yeah, he was, for this generation, what FDR was for his, which is the president, capital P. Remember when Clinton was getting whacked around in 93, 94? George Stephanopoulos brilliantly gave Clinton some videotapes of Reagan getting on and off helicopters and giving speeches to sort of tutor the baby boomer president and how a World War II era president conducted himself. You know, Reagan once said, you know, that people always ask me, how could an actor become president? Well, my response is, I don't see how you could do this job without having been an actor.
Yep.
And he got a lot of that from Franklin Roosevelt, whom he voted for four times and whose memory he revered.
Yeah, it's a real shocking, basically, passing now that the country has lost this great man, because now we have to look at him, and before, you know, the legacy was hanging on, and we're kind of looking at it thinking, wow, you know, what a great man, what a great president, and now to actually be able to close that chapter in the book and say, well, he's gone, and now to look at it reflectively is real different. And what I want to know from you, John, we're talking to John Meacham, who is the managing editor with Newsweek magazine. When you heard that Reagan had passed, what did you think? Because I think that everybody kind of goes back and thinks of one significant moment. What's the memory that popped up in your mind when you heard that Reagan had passed?
Well, I'm a special case in this because I was relatively young when he became president. And it was his presence and his grasp of the public arena that really got me interested in journalism and history and leadership itself. I wrote a book last year called Franklin and Winston about the wartime friendship between Roosevelt and Churchill that I'm convinced I would not have written if Reagan hadn't been such an interesting and mysterious figure. So when the word came Saturday, I immediately thought back to those early days, 1980-81, when this impossibly gracious man seemed to be taking over the country. And very specifically, the sadness and then the relief of the assassination attempt.
Yeah.
I remember in March of 1981, he'd only been president for 90 days.
Yep.
And I remember coming home from school and being terribly worried and seeing Frank Reynolds, from the old ABC anchor, mistakenly announce that Jim Brady, that heroic figure, had died. And then those wonderful reports coming out about, you know, honey, I forgot to duck.
Yeah.
Please tell me you're all Republicans.
Yes.
So he conducted himself in a profession that is far too often ungracious, politics, with a grace that transcended party. And I think we need a lot of that spirit today.
Yeah, do we? And I did want to touch base because I'd seen that you had written the book Franklin and Winston. That's one of the reasons that actually earlier when I talked about Gorbachev and Reagan, it was the fact that you'd written this book recently that really gave me that idea, because you had paired the two of them together, Franklin and Winston, and looking at those together. And I kind of thought there was almost not the same analogy, but some of the same ideas, that they were almost symbiotic between Gorbachev and Reagan. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, just as a sidelight, the book Franklin and Winston. What is it that you outline inside of that book? And, you know, you say that, you know, Reagan was a great impetus for you to go ahead and write that. But let's talk about that for a second.
Sure. Well, thank you. My entire thesis in that book is that men change history. Abstract forces don't change history. That it matters who is in power at critical moments. That in the summer of in the spring of 1940, if someone else had been Prime Minister of Great Britain instead of Winston Churchill, the world would be a different and worse place, because Winston Churchill stared across the English Channel and said, Hitler has gone that far, but he will go no farther.
Mm-hmm.
And that if Franklin Roosevelt had not been president, with his incredible sense of timing and his vision of the world as a neighborhood, you know, Franklin Roosevelt would have very much understood the age of terror, because he said, interestingly, on September 3rd, 1939, the day Britain declared war on Germany, he gave a fireside chat in which he said that every word that comes through the air, every ship that sails at sea, and every plane that takes off does affect America and America's future. and I'm sitting here in Manhattan where we've seen what airplanes can do. And he saw that we needed, as he once put it, to cultivate the science of human relationships if we wanted to live in this world at peace. And then the two men come together, Roosevelt and Churchill, in the most remarkable partnership of modern times, really. And they were tied together by bonds of affection and common values and really spent 113 days together during the war. They exchanged nearly 2,000 letters in a way that you just won't see ever again, even with Reagan and Gorbachev or Reagan and Thatcher. Reagan and Thatcher were clearly working in the style and shadow of Roosevelt and Churchill in that they wanted the Anglo-American alliance to be a bedrock of the global order, and their opponent was Moscow as opposed to Berlin. But they're all very aware of this, future politicians. And, you know, President Bush today has a bust of Churchill in the Oval Office. He likes to joke that Churchill seems like a Texan to him, which is has some truth to it. You know, Churchill, because he was bald, loved hats. And he had a 10-gallon Stetson he wore at Hyde Park at picnics with FDR. and he carried guns sometimes. And President Bush knows that he's using the desk in the Oval Office that Franklin Roosevelt used to deliver his fireside chat. So all these ghosts, all these great figures are playing themselves out in Washington today. And it's a complicated and difficult time. And I think one of the things we're seeing in the outpouring of affection and interest in President Reagan is not necessarily nostalgia. I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's a hunger to learn what we can from what has worked in the past, to understand the mystery of leadership, and to make sure we're in good hands going forward.
Yeah, and I don't know if we'll ever have any hands that are as good as Ronald Reagan's. It's just one of those archetypes you look at and go, man, he was the guy. And then everybody else from there, you almost have to compare him, at least in my generation. You hold him up against Ronald Reagan and see where the others fail.
That's true. You know, he would perhaps with some false modesty, his head at you and disagree and say that there's always a bright dawn ahead. So,
yeah.
But I think it's an interesting week, and I hope everyone focuses on this in a good way.
Hey, we will. Thank you, John. I appreciate it so much. I know you've got other things you have to do. I appreciate you spending some time with us today on KNRC.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Have a great day. That's Managing Editor John Meacham. He is the Managing Editor of Newsweek. Go out and pick up the Newsweek magazine today. Hits newsstands today. Cover story, Ronald Reagan, 1911 to 2004. They have some pieces in there which talks about Mrs. Reagan referring to her husband's long goodbye. Of course, Managing Editor John Meacham has pieces in there where he talks about freedom from self-doubt, from the Soviet threat, from uneasiness about our national power and our capacity to do great things. That was Reagan's gift to this country. Well, we've lost a great man. We're going to talk to Andy Lightbody here in just a minute. He actually knew the Reagans. And then we're going to get some of your phone calls in, 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. Later on in the hour, we're going to talk to, well, not this hour, next hour, we're going to talk to Karen Tumulty, political correspondent with Time Magazine. And historian Ken Davis will join us for a little while in hour three, in the 2 o'clock hour, if you're setting your clocks and going to be with me that long. If not, if you're only stopping in for a cup of coffee, thanks a lot for joining us here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. She's taking the week off. She'll be back next week. Until then, we'll take your phone calls, sit around, and just kind of discuss our memories and thoughts about one of the country's great presidents, Ronald Reagan. I'm back after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have a full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508 or online at ipfunding.com.
KNRC presents Bill Maher at the Paramount Theater Saturday, June 12th.
I will give George Bush credit for this. He is working a lot harder than he thought he'd have to.
For tickets, visit HOB.com.
You know what? You got to get over that. Al Gore lost that election all by himself by maintaining his pledge to end charisma as we know it.
Or call 303-830-8497.
Seriously, the Republicans did not steal that election. It did fall off a truck.
Bill Maher at the Paramount, June 12th. Brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio. A strong start to the week so far on Wall Street. The Dow higher by 95 points. NASDAQ up by 26, reclaiming that 2000 mark, now at 2004. Oil prices still front and center. Crude futures are easing further below $40 a barrel following OPEC's pledge last week to raise supply quotas by 2 million barrels a day. Continental Airlines says it's rescinding the airfare increase it just put in place last week after failing to get rival carriers on board. The move had been aimed at offsetting high jet fuel costs. Cisco Systems is making a connection with Trend Micro. Cisco says it plans to integrate Trend Micro's technology to block computer viruses and worms, and shares of Cisco are higher by more than 3%. McDonald's is loving it. The fast food giant says global same-store sales rose 7.4% in May thanks to the success of its new menu items. Analysts had expected growth to slow for the month. I'm Jennifer Slaw for CNBC Business Radio.
How do you help keep healthcare affordable? By teaming up with physicians and their patients to find new ways to care for chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma. That's what many local Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are doing to reduce medical complications and unnecessary costs. Harvard Medical School has recognized this is a promising way to improve quality and control the rising cost of health care. Learn more at bcbs.com. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association is an association of independent Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
On Medicare? Want to save on prescriptions? Come into Walgreens and learn how you can save 25% or more with Walgreens Health Initiative's Medicare-approved drug discount card. Discounts vary by drug and pharmacy location. Call 1-800-533-7606 to find out if your prescription drug is covered and the discounted price. Pick up an enrollment packet at Walgreens and get ready to save. This card is approved by Medicare but is not a Medicare benefit. Price comparison based on Walgreens regular pricing as of March 2004.
While you're on the road this summer listening to AM 1150 KNRC,
You're it.
Quincy's, guys! Enough!
You should only be able to hear two things, the air conditioner and Colorado's premier talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp! You can't triple stamp a double stamp, boys! You can't triple stamp.
Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
May I congratulate you, sir.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Oh, that brings back memories. I do remember watching both the inaugurations of President Reagan. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein today. Enid is on vacation. She will rejoin you a week from today. This week, though, we have a very special guest. I believe it's going to be Wednesday. We're going to sit down and talk to Bill Maher. If you want to get tickets to Bill Maher, he's going to be at the Paramount Theater this Saturday, the 12th, at 8 o'clock, 303-830-8497, 303-830-8497, or go to knrcradio.com. Enid's going to be back to actually do the stage announcements for Bill Maher, so she's going to make sure that she is off vacation and going to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and so she'll introduce Bill down at the Paramount and then rejoin you a week from today. There's some other guests coming up later on in the next couple of weeks on Enid's show, and we'll let you know about those in just a moment. But we're going to go back to the phones and talk to Andy Lightbody, our military analyst here at AM 1150 KNRC. And Andy, I understand that you were acquainted with the Reagans.
Yeah, I knew the Reagans when he was running for governor. In fact, I worked for his campaign as the governor for the state of California. Obviously, then when he moved up the ladder to Washington, D.C., I was one of the editors for Armed Forces Journal, and Reagan's, as much as anything, probably had a profound influence on the fact that I'm now also not just a writer and an editor, but also a broadcaster, because I would go to some of these press conferences, either at the White House or Capitol Hill, State Department, and obviously the Pentagon, and sometimes I'd go back to the hotel room and I'd shake my head and I'd say, was I at that one? Because that's not what they were saying. So I picked up phones and started calling local news directors and program directors and say, you know, there's another side to this story, and you guys have got an agenda that, you know, is not necessarily the only one.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's how I really, you know, got a chance to see Mr. Reagan, you know, in action, and had a lot of you know, good press conferences,
yeah,
good conversations, got invited to a few White House functions, and I even have here at the bunker,
yeah,
a clear glass elephant that was given to me by then President Reagan that was filled with Jelly Bellies.
Oh wow!
So
you did have a thing for Jelly Bellies.
Yeah,
so,
you know,
yeah.
And I was at the 84 inauguration, you know. Cold, you know, one of the most wicked cold spells to ever blow through Washington, D.C., and, of course, it was right on the,
yep,
the weekend of the inauguration, and, of course, we got to go to the inaugural balls and things like that, and
wow,
really got to see the people up close and personal.
How neat. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you that I'm going to be asking a lot of people today is the idea of, once you heard that Reagan passed, I think that all of us immediately bring up a memory. The first thing that happens is, oh, man, and then you remember something about the great man. What did you think of when he heard he was gone? What was the memory that came up to you?
Probably one of the great free world leaders of our generation. You know, I'm older than you, and
yep,
you know, like I said, had the opportunity to work with them, and you know, he was always so optimistic. He was always so up, and yet, you know, when you got into the clinches with the Gipper, he was tough. I mean,
he seemed that way.
He was tough, you know, and I mean, he could cut you down with a one line as quick as he could make you laugh.
Yeah, it seemed, I always, and that was one of the things that drew me into him, was his wit. That was something that I think was very disarming. And also, when they talk about him being the great communicator, and looking at him as an orator, he was phenomenal. But I think that equal amount of, you know, the tribute of him being the great communicator also has to do with his quick mind and his quick wit, because he was as good on the page as he was off the page.
Yes. Yeah, he didn't have to have the camera light on to be quick-witted. A lot of people said, well, you know, he was kind of dim-witted and he was kind of slow. No, he was very deliberate. I mean, he didn't open his mouth and put his foot in it very often, you know, except when a microphone was on,
yeah,
one time. And well, bombing begins in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But even then, fun. That was funny.
Even
I mean,
that, you know, I mean, you know, could have been devastated, and yet he made such light of it that people ended up laughing about it. And yet, when he got serious standing there in front of the Berlin Wall, Mr. Gorbachev,
yeah,
tear this wall down. I mean, everybody was shocked and aghast because they actually wanted to cut that out of the speech.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'm going to go ahead and say it. And realistically, it probably, you know, in the short term, I mean, everybody was aghast. I mean, boy, you're going to go heads to heads with Gorbachev and demand and blah, blah, blah. But in the long term, it probably actually won us, you know, at that time, you know, of the evil empire, of the threat that was certainly posed in a really runaway arms race between the Soviet Union and the United States,
yeah,
probably won us many friends and allies, because people could relate that we're living under the tyranny of the Soviet Union, and said, you know what, we finally got somebody on the other side that knows what we're going through on a day-to-day basis.
And that was the thing that I looked at when he was talking about facing off with the Soviet Union, is it was one where he sat there and he was able to demonize the system without demonizing the people. And I thought that was really important, because too many times we sit there and say, oh, well, they hate us or they want us to die. And you looked at it, and Reagan really made this delineation, and I thought it was masterful when you look at it growing up and looking at how he was able to phrase and how he was able to just basically portray the Soviet Union. He portrayed the Soviet Union, of course, the famous phrase, evil empire. But he didn't say, it is the evil people inside the Soviet Union that were doing this. He did, you know, accurately portray it as an evil empire, and I think internally it changed the Soviet Union, how they looked at themselves.
Well, you know, when he got shot, I was in Washington, D.C. I wasn't there where he was at the time,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, none of us really knew just how close to death he actually was. you know, I can still see Al Haig. You know, I'm in charge here.
Yeah.
Everything's okay. You know, I remember the stories about Haig picking up the phone and calling, you know, George Bush,
yep.
You know, on his way to Texas, coming back from on his way to Texas, I believe, saying, turn the plane around, you've got to get back here, you know, the Gipper is down, and blah, blah, blah. And soon after that, when he was making a recovery, we heard a story that he had handwritten a letter to then Brezhnev,
mm-hmm.
who was, of course, you know, before yeah. Mikhail Gorbachev. And, you know, they passed it around, they critiqued it, and his advisor said, don't send it, Mr. President.
Mm.
And he said, no, I'm going to send it. He said, God kept me alive for a reason. And I believe that reason is to see if we can start putting cracks in the wall and if we might be able to bring about peace. Well, you know, he not only negotiated some pretty severe, you know, cutbacks in terms of nuclear weapons on both sides, you know, but completely eliminated several classes of nuclear weapons during, you know, his tenure. And when he stood there before the wall and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down, everybody again said, you know, very idealistic, that's the cowboy, that's the Gipper.
Mm-hmm.
And within 2 years, that wall was down.
Yeah, and that was one when I was talking to managing editor of Newsweek just a moment ago, John Meacham. When we were talking about him, talking about the idea, and John accurately portrayed it, that he was, that Reagan, you know, is a hardline fiscal conservative and also hawk, but knew enough and was good enough politically to not let that be the defining role. That, you know, he was a fiscal conservative, but never submitted a balanced budget. And, you know, he also was a hardline hawk, but he was the one that took apart, you know, large portions of our nuclear arsenal. And so you look at that and think, you know, that's, you know, you look at that, it's a lot of admiration. A man who knows that, you know, he's not dogmatic, he's idealistic, but, you know, he isn't a dogmatic about it. He isn't one that says, no, this is how it has to be, and I will not bend. That he bent in certain places.
Well, he certainly did. In fact, if you go back historically, I mean, the days when he was making his bad B movies, he was an adamant spokesperson against communism.
Yeah.
You know, and many people thought that, you know, right up until just a few days before the election, when he went up against, you know, then President Jimmy Carter, you know, and ended up making Carter look like he brought a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
You know, well, there you go again.
Yep.
And really was able to, you know, alleviate a lot of those concerns that a lot of the American public actually had about Reagan in terms of him being a gunslinger. You know, oh, my God, if we elect this guy, does this indeed mean that we're going to be facing World War III? Well,
yeah.
No, he not only was a good communicator, he was probably one hell of a negotiator.
I bet he was, and you really have to have the idea that when he was sitting across the table from Gorbachev, that he really was a man that was strong enough in his principles that, yeah, if you guys were going to attack us, we were going to hit you back just as hard. But he was also principled enough of a man to stand there and say, you know what, we're not going to be the ones that will strike first. That if this,
yeah,
if
that
there's going
to be destruction,
yeah,
that mad program
exactly.
that we lived under for so many generations, you know,
yep.
Well, not generations, but so many years and decades that, you know, we knew we had the military might to hit and hit them hard.
Yep.
Yet by the same token, we didn't want, you know, I remember when he was first campaigning that they were drawing the immediate parallel. Well, he's Goldwater. You know,
yep.
He gets in, we're going to be turning keys. You know,
yeah.
We're all going to be glowing in the dark if we're going to, you know, live after the,
yep.
The effects
exactly.
of the Holocaust.
Exactly. Oh, well, Andy, thank you so much for taking time with us today. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
Hey, take care. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Andy Lightbody, our military analyst here at AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid will return a week from today. She's got this week off after she spent a fun time in Chicago. Hope you had a chance to listen to her last Friday, and then also on Saturday with her special show, where she was able to sit down with Rhonda and Tiki Barber, Ambassador Joseph Wilson, a whole bunch of people. We heard that William F. Buckley got sick that morning and so was not able to join her, and that disappointed me a little bit. I thought that would be kind of fun. Hope you got a chance to check that out. We'll talk more about what Ian is going to be doing in the next couple of weeks here in a moment or two. And I want to talk to you. Talk to you about your remembrances of Ronald Reagan. Talk to you about what you were thinking over the weekend after he passed. And what specifically is Ronald Reagan's legacy? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
And now it's time to go to the KNRC newsroom and talk to the man who I have heard was actually, he was the kernel or the idea of mutually assured destruction, and that was Tim McLaughlin. They said that when Tim gets a hold of the news, the only thing that happens is destruction, so they figured... So it's just a rumor, though. I'm not sure.
A great compliment. Thanks.
Oh, sure, good.
I appreciate that.
What's going on in news, Tim?
It's mostly sunny and 95 degrees right now. Officials say fire danger in the state is high. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
A couple of new problems on the interstates. One is a stall southbound I-25 south of University Boulevard. Tow truck en route to fish that thing out of the lanes of traffic. Also, a new stall southbound I-25 approaching Orchard Road. And another tow truck is en route to take care of that one as well. Collision on the ramp, Colorado Boulevard 2 southbound I-25. Doesn't look like it's causing much of a slowdown there. 92nd and Yates in Westminster. Accident with injuries involving a pedestrian. Apparently the injuries are minor, at least so we are told. Everything around town, though, moving along in pretty good shape for the most part. Freeway traffic is moving along at posted speeds. Tired of just surviving life? Then you won't want to miss Franklin Graham's message of hope for your stressed-out soul tonight on Denver 7 at 9 o'clock. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
High temperatures and low humidity mean increased fire danger in Colorado. Officials say this is the time for residents in fire-prone areas to meet with neighbors and local fire districts to develop evacuation plans and make homes safe as possible. This report brought to you by Tyson Foods. The Denver City Council meets tonight and is expected to approve the $1.3 million settlement between the city and the family of Paul Childs, a Denver police officer shot and killed the developmentally disabled teen last summer. The owner of the Peaceful Valley Ranch and Conference Center died in a plane crash over the weekend. 61-year-old Richard Gann was killed when the single-engine plane he was flying crashed in eastern Oregon. Family meal tonight? Look for Tyson fully cooked beef roasts, hickory smoked bacon, and chicken nuggets at your neighborhood grocer. Great tasting, high quality. Look for Tyson products in the bright red packaging. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:41.
AM 1150 KNRC, the way Denver spells talk radio. KNRC. One enchanted evening, live by request. Audi presents Katie Lang, live in concert with the Live Symphony Orchestra. Katie Lang, this Saturday at Universal Lending Pavilion. Located on the grounds of the Pepsi Center complex. Bask in the beauty of her incomparable voice. Tickets are on sale now at all Ticketmaster ticket centers and at the Pepsi Center box office. To charge by phone, call 303-830-TIXX or get tickets at cc.com or universallendingpavilion.com. Indulge yourself in an evening with K.D. Lang. K.D. Lang, presented by Audi, Clear Channel Entertainment, and Cronky Sports Enterprises.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, mostly sunny and hot today. Clear skies tonight will cool off to around 60 degrees. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little cooler too, only in the mid-80s for tomorrow's high. Mostly sunny and 94 now. KNRC News Time is 12:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz, and this smiling, smug lady next to me is Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. Curly, 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 you're just so happy that curly hair is coming back, aren't you?
Yep, and not just any kind of curly hair. Soft, loose curls and sexy waves, just the way I love them. And where can you get some of these great curls? At Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 and Orchard. Their stylists know that curls are the newest trend, and they know how to give you some major curvality.
Excuse me, is that even a real word?
It should be. It's the perfect word to describe the curls you get at Salon Mercedes. And if you're like Judy and have straight hair, Salon Mercedes will ignite your body revolution and liberate your curl consciousness.
Salon Mercedes can handle any style, straight, wavy, or curly. Salon Mercedes at I-25 and Orchard, open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7, Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. 303-741-0606. That's 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
When you hear
a talk show host that makes fun of himself,
Doug Kellett is on AM 1150 KNRC.
Tell your wife, your children, anybody who will listen to you.
Afternoons 3 till 6.
I like it.
AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC. Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
I aim to try and tap
that great American spirit that opened up this completely undeveloped continent from coast to coast and made it a great nation, survived several wars, survived a Great Depression, and we'll survive the problems that we face right now.
But, you know, he would do the same thing for me. And I know that. He doesn't go for walks, or he doesn't swim anymore.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein here on AM 1150 KNRC. The phone number is 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. We're talking about the passing of the 40th president, Ronald Reagan. Reagan passed away over the weekend. I'm sure you've known that. I just want to get your reactions. I want to talk to you a little bit about your memory of Ron. When he passed away, what was the memory that popped up in your mind? Good, bad, or indifferent? What was it that you thought about? And what do you think the Reagan legacy is? I've got a couple of more questions for you. I want to jump to the phones real quick and talk to Mike in Denver. He called us at 303-382-1150, just like you can. Mike, thanks for calling us on KNRC. How you doing today?
Fine. How are you, Bill?
Doing pretty good. So what's on your mind?
I didn't much like Ronald Reagan, but I like him enough to worry about his suffering for the last 10 years, and I think that will give Ron Jr. and Maddie a good platform for advocating for euthanasia.
You think so? You think they'll use it for advocating for euthanasia?
No, I don't think. Well, I don't think many people are aware of the suffering that Ronald Reagan went through for the last 10 years, and I think maybe some of these people that are so fond of Ronald Reagan should use this to good for an adult discussion of the possibilities of euthanasia, because the way he went was horrible death.
It was a really rough death, and it's rougher from my end. It's rougher on the families than it is on the individual, because the individual, after a while, mercifully, their mind leaves them and they don't really understand it, as all they're confused and everything else. But I think it's really rough on the families, and I understand the argument for euthanasia. But what do you think about this, Mike? I actually looked at this and thought that the death of Reagan, instead of euthanasia, I think it would push the issue of stem cell research, which I think
absolutely is... Absolutely, I agree 100%.
Now, what do you think about the stem cell research so far? I mean, do you think that... How important do you think Reagan can become basically like the poster boy, almost like, I hate to use it that way, but like Christopher Reeve has for some of the other spinal surgeries and some of the other development? Do you think that Reagan, you know, can basically become, you know, at the head of the charge for changing some of the restrictions we have right now in stem cell research?
There's no limit to human imagination, so I'd say no more.
Hey, Mike, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks. Take care. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. 303-382-1150 is... call me here at AM1150 KNRC. Talking about Ronald Reagan, that's one of the things, stem cell research, just as an aside, that I hope that will, basically, the death of Ronald Reagan will mark a change in how we approach stem cell research. And for all of you out there that believe that we shouldn't be doing absolutely any stem cell research, like our current president, George W. Bush, I'll draw a really quick comparison for you, and then we'll get to some more phone calls. Okay, if you're against stem cell research, the next question that you have to ask is, are you against the idea of fertility clinics? It has to be asked and has to be answered. Because if you are in favor of the idea of fertility clinics, but are against the idea of stem cell research, what you're basically doing is saying that it's okay for us to create all of these embryos that you know are going to be destroyed, and then turn around and not use that as a tool for the stem cell research. That's the weird thing, that if fertility clinics are okay in your mind, what you're also okay with then is, over the course of a couple of years, destroying tens of thousands of young embryos. Well, if you're not for fertility clinics, then at least you can be consistent. But if you think that we should be using technology to help people have kids that don't necessarily have kids right now, and remember, according to some people, that's the entire reason that we should have marriage, is so that we can raise the kids. So fertility clinics then would seem to make sense. But then again, if you're willing to go ahead and destroy all those embryos, how does that fit with the idea of stem cell research? That's the silly thing in my book, is the embryos exist, the tissue exists, it's there. It's a question of whether or not we do research with it or we flush it down the toilet. I think it's a waste to flush it. I'm sorry. I think that there are other things that can be gained from it. But that's my own personal soapbox to stand on, and I'm closely and rapidly approaching another break right now. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. Talking to you about Ronald Reagan. What's your memory of Ronald Reagan? When you heard that he was gone, what did you think of? And what is the Reagan legacy? What is the legacy of Ronald Reagan? What do you remember? What is it that you think the country will remember? And what is it that you think the country should remember about the president, Ronald Reagan? And what have you thought so far of the media coverage of Reagan over the course of the weekend? Let me know. 303-382-1150. I'm going to step aside. I'm filling in for Enid Goldstein. She is going to return next week. She's actually going to be introducing Bill Maher down at the Paramount Theater this Saturday. If you want to go to the show Saturday, June 12th, we're going to be giving away tickets later on this week, but don't have any tickets to give away yet. Just jump on knrcradio.com, and you'll be able to click on the Bill Maher icon and go ahead and get some tickets that way. Also, later in the month, Edna Buchanan and her new book, Cold Case Squad, will be here on AM 1150 KNRC with Enid Goldstein. Enid, if you caught, was it the Chicago Book Expo? The American Book Expo last week in Chicago, both on Friday and Saturday. She sat down with Rhonda and Tiki Barber, Stedman Graham, and a host of others, Ambassador Joseph Wilson. That was very entertaining with Enid and the ambassador together. Well, give me a ring. We're going to talk about Ronald Reagan and a few other things on your mind. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Family meal tonight. Look for Tyson fully cooked beef, roast, hickory smoked bacon, and chicken nuggets at your neighborhood grocer. Great tasting, high quality. Look for Tyson products in the bright red packaging. Americana music comes to the Arvada Center this Saturday night, complete with bluegrass, jazz, honky-tonk, and western swing, when Pete Wernick's Live 5 and Haldon Wofford and the High Beams perform in the Arvada Center's beautiful outdoor amphitheater this Saturday, June 12th at 7:30 p.m. Pete Wernick's Live 5 will play what they like to call flexigrass, a unique fusion of supercharged bluegrass and traditional jazz. Local favorites Haldon Wofford and the High Beams will open for the Live 5 with their high-energy, real country music sound. Tickets for Pete Wernick's Live 5 with Haldon Wofford and the High Beams are $20 for covered seating and $10 for lawn seating. For more information or to purchase tickets, contact the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200 or visit their website at www.arvadacenter.com. Don't miss Pete Wernick's Live 5 unique flexigrass sound and the real country music of Haldon Wofford and the High Beams this Saturday night at the Arvada Center. Call 720-898-7200.
Next.
I need something for my feet.
Yeah, I caught a whiff.
Fred to the front. We got a guy here with smelly feet. Bring the good stuff. The Dr. Scholl's.
Thanks a lot.
Whoa, you must be the smelly feet guy. Here.
Dr. Scholl's deodorant foot powder?
Oh, yeah, it works immediately and lasts all day.
But what about that gold?
Look, I've been in your shoes. Well, thankfully not your shoes. Dr. Scholl's is better. It has more odor-destroying power than that Gold Bond foot powder.
I'll take it.
He's taking the Dr. Scholl's, folks.
Dr. Scholl's foot powder. Get the odor out now.
The Larimer Arts Association presents the second annual La Piazza dell'Arte, June 19th and 20th. The award-winning festival follows 16th century street painting traditions and features more than 200 artists who will spend hours on their hands and knees transforming asphalt into pastel masterpieces of brilliant color and design. Enjoy spectacular artwork, Italian food, beverages, and entertainment. Admission is free. For more information, call 303-685-8143 or visit larimerarts.org.
Centrum Carb Assist is the more complete multivitamin supplement with higher levels of a select group of nutrients that help your body efficiently utilize fats and protein.
I really don't want to give my name. I'm a regional manager. I do love that Enid Goldstein. A mission to Mars, Mr. Bush? If there's any extra money in the budget, I think we should create a U.S. grant for hotness myself.
Enid Goldstein, weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNIC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
He just had a terrific sense of humor and easygoing manner. At the same time, had some bedrock principles.
Because he spoke clearly, because he was willing to speak the truth and in black and white terms, he inspired not just people here, but so many of my friends now who are part of a free Russia say that he inspired them to realize that they didn't have to live in conditions of tyranny forever.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein here on AM 1150 KNRC. And just as the last quote said, I had some friends that living in the Soviet Union, well, they're friends now after the Soviet Union opened up, In fact, I met them on one of the first cultural exchanges for educators that came from the Soviet Union over here into some public high schools here in Colorado. And I met some of the teachers and some of the students, and it was interesting to talk to them and their view of America and their view of President Reagan. And they honestly said that when President Reagan called the USSR the evil empire, it was something that they had been longing to do for so many years. He said it was nice that at least it made them feel that the outside world was viewing what it was like on the inside, even to a small extent. And they said that it was really necessary and gave a lot of the people inside of the Soviet Union hope that hopefully the people out there also knew what they were going through, because none of them, if they were asked, would ever continue to vote for that system. So, but the fun thing is they never got to vote for the system. So the part of it was that Reagan was able to bridge that gap. And strangely enough, to have the President of the United States of America giving people inside of the Soviet Union hope, that is a remarkable man. And no, he wasn't perfect. In fact, next hour I will bring up one of the things that really kicked me in the stomach when I was younger, when I was watching. And it was an impression that I had of Ronald Reagan. And for a while, he was, for me, very, very much larger than life. He was the embodiment of the presidency, and many times that can almost become too overwhelming. The idea of when the man is becoming bigger than the office, then does, you know, the man define the office, or does the office define the man? And I think you're in danger when the man begins to define the office, because the man should be trying to fill the office, not make it bend around what he wants to do. And I think to a certain extent that Reagan really understood that. But there was one point in which I was watching, and I think it was that moment where the man was trying to bend the office. And I looked and went, oh, man, you just blew it for me. You just blew it for me. But we're going to get into that one next hour, talk a little bit about that. I want to talk to you about some of your memories of Ronald Reagan, talk to you about what you thought of when you heard he was gone, what memories popped up into your mind, and what do you think the Reagan legacy is? Because I still hold firm that, at least for this generation, that Reagan will be the picture of the president that people will live with, that everybody else will be judged against the platform of Ronald Reagan. Whether that is good or whether that is bad, and however everybody else shakes out from there is all your, you know, we can debate that for, you know, now until the cows come home. But I think that when we, at least inside of, I would almost say, you know, most of, you know, the latter 70s into the 80s and 90s and beyond, at least until we get another man that is key and can move history, or is at least the gatekeeper as history is moving around him, like that happens, I don't think we'll have another man. Because even then, if you look at, you know, both Bush presidencies, you look at that, you measure them against Reagan, it doesn't look that good. Same thing with Clinton. Measured against Reagan, it doesn't look that good. I mean, there are some, you can talk about economic policies, you can talk about foreign policies, you can talk about research and development, even through Star Wars. And yes, it was Ronald Reagan who had the idea of Star Wars, the idea that we would shoot the missiles out of the sky, either with lasers or other missiles or whatever it is that we might be able to do. And it was Kim that, it was his administration that at least floated that balloon and had that idea implanted. So you look at that and think, man, you know, that's kind of going out on a limb. You know, George Bush suggested we go back to the moon. Man, we've been there once already. I don't think it's changed much, last time I checked. So I keep looking at that thinking, that's the contrast that I see in the men. I see Reagan as someone that was looking forward. Whether or not you liked where he was going, whether or not you liked his plan for a broader version of America, and it was an optimistic version of America. And I think, unfortunately, right now, we're involved in what is a negative view of America. Because, again, I mean, look at it this way. If you, in your life right now, sitting there behind the computer, sitting there in your car, just listening to the radio at home, how many of you are looking 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road and thinking that things are going to be so much better? How many of you are really that optimistic? Or how many of you are looking at this thinking, man, things are going to get so much worse? But then inside of the Cold War, we had the evil empire facing across from us with all of their nuclear weapons. And we knew that we held the advantage in technology, but they held the advantage in sheer numbers. So there was that balancing act. Would it technology beat the superior numbers, or were the superior numbers simply overrun the technology? So there always was that odd balance on the seesaw of world power back and forth, the time in which America should feel very tenuous in their standing inside of the world. Yet Reagan always stood there and had the optimistic view that we were the country that was going to come through it. That he confronted Gorbachev, confronted the Soviets, and stood firm. And I think it's a different view and how he was viewing America and where he was going. But I'll tell you some of the surprising moments that I had just growing up and watching President Reagan. And one of the times in which he shattered my image. He absolutely shattered my image. And I think, honestly, made me grow up a little bit, made me realize some of the fallacies of the individuals that take the office of presidency. Again, not throwing rocks at President Reagan, but we all have our fallacies, and I'll tell you the time in which, specifically, there was one instance when it just tore down this wonderful picture that I had painted of him and made me look at him in a more adult manner, made me look at him with his flaws and with his greatness. And it's an interesting balance. We'll talk more about that next hour. Coming up, Karen Tumulty, political correspondent with Time Magazine. 303-382 is the phone number. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. The family of former President Ronald Reagan has begun saying goodbye. NBC's Carrie Sanders tells us members are attending a service at the Reagan Library in California.
As the people are gathering, they will pass through here, pay their respects. His body will lay in repose here for 30 hours, and then his casket will be flown to Washington, where he will lie there for the public to pay their respects before it returns here.
Tens of thousands of mourners are expected at the funeral, among them past and present leaders from all over the world. Much of the federal government will be closed. U.S. financial markets will be, too. It's billed as an economic summit, but Iraq and the Mideast are expected to be the hot topics this week on Sea Island, Georgia. President Bush will host the international meeting. French government officials have begun legal proceedings to try to annul the country's first same-sex marriage. The mayor of a French town performed the ceremony Saturday. He faces suspension and a fine. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
There are countless reasons to love a Jaguar. The machine of a dream. And now, thanks to astonishing lease and finance offers, you can enjoy that reason which is most satisfying. The ability to look every envious driver in the eye and say, "That's my Jag." Visit your local Jaguar retailer so that you too can say, "That's my Jag."
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 95 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The hot weather tops our news today. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
And that hot weather is beginning to have an impact on some of the traffic conditions around town. The tow truck folks just moved a stall out of the way. On the ramp from University to southbound I-25, they tell us it was a case of vapor lock, and we're sure to see a lot of that because, quite frankly, we're not accustomed to 100-degree weather in June around here. Freeway traffic, for the most part, moving along in good shape. A little bit of slow traffic, though. Southbound I-25 around University Boulevard may be a momentary stall in traffic at that intersection. Colfax and York, watch for an accident. Colfax and Sheridan, the traffic lights aren't working properly. Apparently, they are showing green in all four directions there. Subway with the information. Try one of Subway's new four new fresh salads, that is, like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb control dressings. Subway, eat fresh. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Keeping cool will be a challenge today. Try not to break into a sweat when you hear this from forecaster Paul Gard with the National Weather Service.
It's going to be near 100 today in the metropolitan area and along the urban corridor here.
Also, probably it might even be warmer than that out farther east on the plain.
Metro Denver's record temperature for this date is 97, set way back in 1874. Gard says that mark will most likely tumble today, but that we should be back in the mid-80s by tomorrow. This report brought to you by the network of 18 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. Those high temperatures also mean increased fire danger for the state. We've had no significant rainfall along the front range for at least a week, and no rain in the forecast for the next 10 days. Gusty winds also mean and increased danger for fire. Negotiations between teachers and the Greeley-Evans School District 6 have reportedly come to a standstill. The teachers are saying it's now up to the district to make the next move. If the two sides can't reach an agreement, they may have to bring in a mediator to resolve the dispute over salaries. In sports, the Colorado Rockies and San Francisco Giants finish up their wraparound series this afternoon. Rocks have lost two of the first three games. Sean Estes throws for the Rocks today. At John Elway Showrooms, get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty. And at their gigantic used car tent event, get the lowest prices in town on every used vehicle. Starts Wednesday. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 104.
Your summer passport for news and information. Identification, please.
Where talk happens. AM 1150 KNRC.
Enjoy your summer.
On June 19th, Hazel Miller, Lanny Garrett, and many others perform at the 22nd Annual Highland Square Street Fair in the heart of North Denver. At Denver's historic Highlands, it's the best in Denver's local music scene, and best of all, it's free. Join 30,000 of your closest friends for favorites Buckskin Stallion, Laura Newman, Nutsero, and more as music fills the street at two stages Saturday, June 19th. Don't miss the fun at Denver's best street fair, filling the streets at the intersection of 32nd Avenue and Lowell Boulevard. Food, beer, and cocktails, and dozens of arts and crafts vendors, plus an interactive kid zone for family entertainment. It's all on the street. Come out this year and see great live music on two large stages and plenty to do in between. It's great fun for the entire family. The Highland Square Street Fair at 32nd and Lowell in historic North Denver happens on June 19th.
Brought to you by Community Banks of Colorado, KNRC, and Chipotle. See you there.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With a mix of sun and clouds and near record highs today, we await the arrival of a cold front that's just off to the north, and that's going to bring some showers and thunderstorms our way by Wednesday. As for temperatures, we'll top out around 100 for the high, 59 for the low, 85 tomorrow, and 84 on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny and 95 now. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
106 here at AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein is not here today. She's on vacation. She will return a week from today. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid, and we're talking today about the passing of Ronald Reagan. Saturday I found out, Saturday afternoon, it really was a blow. It was a shock because he's a person that, and we'll talk about in a little bit, that really shaped my image of a president. He really is the person that I start out with when I think of the president. He's the picture that I start out with and then kind of sketch and change and draw from there what I assume the president should be. And that is the man, Ronald Reagan, with all of his greatness and all of his fallacies, because there were some fallacies. And we'll talk about those as well, that, you know, that I have a very realistic picture of this man. I'm not someone that is going to gloss over it and say, wow, you know, he was the best thing since sliced bread. I think he's one of the greatest presidents the country's ever had. But he did have some missteps. He did have some mistakes. Now, I'm not highlighting those today, but I don't think it's time to necessarily throw rocks at the guy. But I will appraise it honestly and openly with you. Here in just a little bit, we'll talk about some of the things. And one thing in particular that really shattered my image of him, the one time in which I felt like I had been punched in the stomach and went, oh, man, I can't believe he just did that. But then again, it didn't really seem to impact his presidency. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But first, I want to get to our special guest on the hotline. Karen Tumulty with Time Magazine has been kind enough to carve out a little bit of time in her day for us. And Time Magazine is going to be running a very special edition on the newsstands today commemorating Ronald Reagan from 1911 to 2004. They call it the All-American President. Karen, thanks a lot for joining us here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Now, you're the national political correspondent for Time Magazine. I wanted to see, what is Time doing this week to honor the great president?
Well, you know, while the president's passing is a major, major news event, it was not an unexpected one. So
yeah.
We and just about every other news organization had been preparing for this for quite a while. And as a result, we have not only perspectives from our own correspondents and reporters as to his significance, but we also have an essay from Nancy Reagan herself and from George Herbert Walker Bush, giving their very unique insights into this president.
Now, that is two people that do have really unique insights into the president. I know you've got 39 pages in this commemorative issue, and Ronald Reagan was named Times Man of the Year twice, in 1980 and 1983, and the fact that he made it in 1980, I think, is very significant.
Well, that election was quite a remarkable one, because even then you could feel that there was a real sea change. Ronald Reagan ran on two big ideas, that he was going to shrink the size of government and increase the size of the military. And when the public endorsed him and his ideas with such a mandate, it was very clear that the country was headed in a new direction.
Yeah, because you have the phenomenon of the Reagan Democrats, the people that are the conservative side of, you know, the liberal arm of the country, that basically, you know, joined up and said, yeah, I like what Reagan's saying. I think he's got a plan. And I always thought it was interesting, the increased military spending. I was surprised personally how well the country embraced that, because they really got behind the idea of, hey, you know, we've got these guys, the Russians, that have got a lot of people, but we've got better technology, so the one solution is we'll outspend them. And because of how our economy works, part of it is the fact that we tried to outspend them that forced them into collapse based on how they had to split out their planned economy. I mean, it really was, to a certain extent, people always talk about Ronald Reagan meeting with Gorbachev, but, you know, as well as the PR campaign, the monetary campaign against the Soviet Union did make a lot of difference as well.
And, you know, it was interesting, because when Ronald Reagan left office in January of 1989, he left with the highest approval ratings of any president since Franklin Roosevelt, but the jury was still out as to just how well the two great Reagan experiments, as you said, the military buildup and his tax cutting program, how those two things were really going to play out. It was, you know, only in the next few years that we saw both the Soviet Union fall and this incredible prosperity kick in the 1990s. And as a result, I think, of those two things, you know, Americans' regard for Ronald Reagan, even the regard of people who disagreed with him, has really gone up since he has left office.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I've been asking people today is, when they heard that Ronald Reagan passed, what was the memory that cropped up in your mind? And so I'll ask you, Karen, and we're talking to Karen Tumulty, the political correspondent with Time Magazine, and Time has a special 39-page commemorative edition on the newsstands today, talking about Ronald Reagan. So when you heard on Saturday that he'd passed, what did you think of?
Well, you know, you can't think of Ronald Reagan. It's a cliche that he was a great communicator, but mm-hmm. You cannot think of him without thinking of some of those incredibly powerful phrases that used to come from him, you know,
oh, yeah.
The shining city on the hill, the evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
There was a clarity to his ability to communicate, and by the way, to persuade people, that we haven't seen since then, or likely to ever see again.
Yeah, he was such a good speaker, and it's the time where, you know, and dealing with some kids, and I've coached some kids in speech and things, and I'll have them listen to how he presents it. And what I'll do is I'll sit there and you turn the TV off or you turn the screen off and you let them listen to the audio. You have to close your eyes and listen to how he delivers the lines. You know, listen to the words that he uses, the pauses that he uses, and just his tone and the temper that he uses to get through the paragraphs. And you listen to it, and it's masterful because he pauses at the right times.
And of course, his detractors would just say, well, that's a, you know, B-movie Hollywood actor reading a script. But there was he was able to sort of internalize what he was saying and make it such a part of himself. And in our magazine this week, former President Bush was marveling. He said when Ronald Reagan gave his incredibly moving speech at the 40th anniversary of D-Day, you know, it was so powerful that then Vice President Bush asked him later, he said, how were you able to give that speech without just breaking up? And he said, well, what you do is you read it to yourself over and over and over again until you can get through it, but it is a part of you.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you have to do. That's what I tell the kids all the time, is that you have to own the story in order to make sure it comes through properly. And Ronald Reagan, when he got up there, he owned it. I mean, he owned not only the speech, but he was as good, and I've said this before, on the paper as he was off the paper. And I think that was what really endeared him to a lot of the American people, is that even when he got some of those hard questions from the media, or he was put in some hard situations, he always seemed to have the right answer. Not that it was the correct answer, but he had the right answer.
And very often it was with humor and to make fun of himself, which is going to always disarm your critics.
Absolutely. Now, Karen, what are you out in Washington, D.C. in the area, what are the political circles saying right now? And when you're going out and you're putting your finger up into the political wind, which way is it blowing and what are you hearing?
Well, as you must know by now, both President Bush's campaign and John Kerry's campaign have just essentially decided to suspend all of their overtly political activities.
That you said overtly political. That's good.
But they're canceling the fundraisers and the campaigning and all that stuff, because I think they both understand that this story is going to, you know, nothing is going to be heard pretty much, but this story between now and at least Friday. You know, President Bush has, you know, very much styled himself on Ronald Reagan, much more so even than his own father. And so there was, you know, some speculation that this could somehow help the Bush campaign. I think that had this happened in October, perhaps it could have a real impact on the election. But I think we have so long to go between now and November that who knows what it's going to mean.
Now, speaking about what it means to the presidency and the election right now, I always think that, you know, to a certain extent, there are certain presidents. Now, all presidents have this effect that, you know, basically what happens inside of their presidency does affect the people that are coming after them. But I think that Reagan, more than many of the others in recent history, is almost like dropping a pebble into a pool, that there are still ripples from the Reagan presidency, even so many years later, that we're still feeling here in the country. Do you agree with me? I mean, are we still feeling some of the ripples of the Reagan
absolutely.
Presidency?
Absolutely. You know, and he not only resurrected and remade his own political party, but he forced the Democratic Party to change itself, to transform itself as well. It was after he just resoundingly defeated Walter Mondale for re-election in 1984 that this group that called itself the New Democrats began forming and meeting and talking about how they could win back those Reagan Democrats. And some of the people involved in that, you know, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, really did sort of move the Democratic Party itself back into the middle. And so when you heard President Clinton saying things like the era of big government is over, or we are going to end welfare as we know it, he was in some ways actually standing on President Reagan's shoulders.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that the clearest comparison I always get is that between Clinton and Reagan, I think that in many ways how they campaigned, how they related to the American public were very similar, because they both had that overwhelming charisma, and they had the ability that when they were speaking, to make it seem like they were just talking to you, to sit there and make that connection, that one-to-one connection. Doesn't matter if you were in the room with them for 5 minutes or 2 hours, that they had the ability to make that one-on-one connection with you and to really touch you. And I thought that was really unique.
Absolutely. And they also understood that they really had to be talking to people in the heartland. I mean, that's where those Reagan Democrats lived. They lived in places like Michigan, you know, not the sort of power salons of New York and L.A. and Washington.
Now, how important do you feel that Reagan was to the end of the Cold War and the eventual end of the USSR? How integral do you think he was? And we actually spoke with a colleague of yours, John Meacham, the managing editor of Newsweek, earlier in the show. And he talked about how that there almost was we kind of got into almost a symbiotic relationship, that Gorbachev and Reagan, because of who they were, they could play off of each other, and they had the ability to do things inside of their own countries, Gorbachev in the USSR and Reagan here, that they couldn't have done if someone else was sitting across the table from them.
That's right. The two of them really sort of were able to look into each other's eyes, to use President Bush's phrase of with Vladimir Putin, were able to look at each other and size each other up and see, this is in fact a person I could do business with. But what President Reagan's program did in this country, and historians are going to be debating for decades, you know, how whether this was in fact the straw that broke the Soviet camel's mm-hmm. back, but where people have long recognized that socialism was just not an economic system that could sustain itself indefinitely. And by sort of running up defense spending in our country, he forced the Soviets to do the same. And in some sense, that probably did at least hasten the demise of the Soviet system.
Yeah, I think that he was smart enough to realize the limits on their economy and kind of figured that, you know, the advisors at least came up and said, you know what, when you're planning the economy, here are some problems that we see, and they could exploit some of those problems, and they did it masterfully. Now, a final question for Karen Tumulty, who's a national political correspondent with Time magazine. What is the Reagan legacy, in your opinion?
You know, I do think it is the degree to which he has transformed politics and transformed government. But, again, we're not going to know really for decades what it ultimately and how it ultimately is viewed. Robert Dallek, the renowned presidential historian, was telling me that historians aren't even going to begin to see a lot of his internal papers for 15 or 20 years. So I think the book is still open, but it's very clear that he is going to be remembered as a very important president.
Now, of all the things that we're covering over, you know, the last couple of days, and it'll be covered in Time magazine this week, just to think, in a couple of years, it's all going to be basically pared down to about three paragraphs in some kid's textbook and have a little picture next to him that he's going to have to read and be tested on. I don't know if that's a comforting thought or not. Karen Tumulty, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks. That's Karen Tumulty. She's a national political correspondent with Time magazine. Go and pick up Time magazine this week. It's going to be a very special edition. It's on the newsstands. It's called The All-American President. There are 39 pages devoted to Ronald Reagan inside of that issue, an essay by Nancy Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, Bush the First, actually has a writing on Reagan. Inside of that, I pulled a piece of it out, and he said, quote, "I learned about principle. I learned about kindness. I learned about humor. Ronald Reagan was unfailingly courteous to all the people around him, to the little guy, the elevator operator, the butler at the White House. He treated them all the same." That's what George Herbert Walker Bush writes about Ronald Reagan. I want to know what you think. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Give me a call here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein, and we'll be back to talk to you about Ronald Reagan and a few other things right after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Irvin.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Come out to Old Town Arvada on June 12th and 13th for the second annual Arvada Gold Strike Festival, a fun-filled celebration of Colorado's rich mining heritage. Listen to great live music, taste local cuisine, and enjoy a plethora of outdoor activities suitable for the entire family. Lose yourself for the weekend in historic Old Town Arvada, the site of the first documented gold find in the state of Colorado. On Saturday, Easy Bill and the Big Beat and Eddie Clendenning and the Blue Ribbon Boys will be featured. Saturday will culminate with a headline appearance by Dotsero. For Sunday, come out for the unique sound of Runaway Express, which will include a special appearance by John McEwen, and end your weekend with another unforgettable performance by Hazel Miller. Stick around to check out all the fun activities, such as a recumbent bike rally and a classic car show. So mark your calendar for June 12th and 13th. Be in historic Old Town Arvada, located 1 mile north of I-70, just one block west of Wadsworth. For more information, visit historicarvada.org.
The Denver Film Society is proud to present the Americana Film Series at the Stars Film Center, featuring great Americana films through the summer, featuring The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, on Thursday, June 10th. Denver playwright and director Terry Dodd is your host for this Americana film classic. The film starts at 7 and tickets will be available at the Stars Film Center box office, part of the Americana Film Series from the Denver Film Society.
I'm Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio. A strong start to the week so far on Wall Street. The Dow higher by 95 points. NASDAQ up by 26, reclaiming that 2000 mark, now at 2004. Oil prices still front and center. Crude futures are easing further below $40 a barrel following OPEC's pledge last week to raise supply quotas by 2 million barrels a day. Continental Airlines says it's rescinding the airfare increase it just put in place last week after failing to get rival carriers on board. The move had been aimed at offsetting high jet fuel costs. Cisco Systems is making a connection with Trend Micro. Cisco says it plans to integrate Trend Micro's technology to block computer viruses and worms, and shares of Cisco are higher by more than 3%. McDonald's is loving it. The fast food giant says global same-store sales rose 7.4% in May thanks to the success of its new menu items. Analysts had expected growth to slow for the month. I'm Jennifer Slaw for CNBC Business Radio.
How do you help keep health care affordable? By teaming up with physicians and their patients to find new ways to care for chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma. That's what many local Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are doing to reduce medical complications and unnecessary costs. Harvard Medical School has recognized this as a promising way to improve quality and control the rising cost of health care. Learn more at bcbs.com. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association is an association of independent Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
On Medicare? Want to save on prescriptions? Come into Walgreens and learn how you can save 25% or more with Walgreens Health Initiative's Medicare-approved drug discount card. Discounts vary by drug and pharmacy location. Call 1-800-533-7606 to find out if your prescription drug is covered and the discounted price. Pick up an enrollment packet at Walgreens and get ready to save. This card is approved by Medicare but is not a Medicare benefit. Price comparison based on Walgreens regular pricing as of March 2004.
Our talk hosts go beyond the headlines. Armed with the facts.
Do not change the channel.
Find out the top issues plus how they got that way from Jimmy, Enid, and Doug. Weekdays, hear Colorado talk on AM 1150 KNIC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNIC.
We thank you that this world is a better place because he was here. And we thank you for the pride that he instilled, for reminding us of the great nation that under your guidance we are.
This is a sad time for the nation, and more especially for Mrs. Reagan, who has shown grace beyond compare.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein, 125 here on AM 1150 KNRC. And yes, we are mourning the passing of one of the great presidents of this nation. Ronald Reagan is gone. And one of the questions I have for you is, when you heard that Reagan was gone, what was the memory that popped up in your mind? What did you think of? Good, bad, or indifferent? We all have a certain memory of the president. What is it that you thought of? 303-382-1150. And what is the Reagan legacy? What is it that is going to be taught in those school books? Because everything that we are going over and machinating over the last couple of days and going on through this week will be basically eventually pared down to about three paragraphs inside of some kid's textbook. What do you think they're going to write about? What do you think is going to be the Reagan legacy number of years from now? 303-382-1150. We're going to jump to the phones and talk to Dwayne in Aurora. Dwayne, thanks for hanging on. How are you doing today?
Hey, Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying this Monday, but man, it's hot.
Yeah.
Jeez, this is brutal.
But I guess they were saying there's a cold front coming.
Yeah, I know. But then again, you know, it's those weather people. They're only right about half the time anyway.
Yeah.
I want one of those jobs.
Flipping a coin and making 80 grand a year.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Yeah, you and me both. If you find out where they apply for those jobs, let me know. Man, so what's on your mind about Reagan?
You know, I think the at least on a human level, or you know, just a basic human level, the thing that I recalled about Reagan was that to me, he came off as a man who had a pretty quick wit and a good sense of humor. He often, you know, made me chuckle with some of the things he said, and intentionally chuckle, not as George Bush does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is different.
There's a big difference. But I think, you know, what I will, and I, during the course of my life, I'm 52, during the course of my life, I think he was probably one of our better presidents. But I think the thing that I will always associate with him, you know, unavoidably, is that he was at the helm, during the demise of the old Soviet Union. And I'm not giving him sole responsibility for this. I certainly think it was crumbling from within.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of his policies probably hastened, that demise. And and you know, when I look at the course of my 52 years, there's certain things, you know, the assassination of President Kennedy, yep. men walking on the moon, 9/11, and then the demise of the Soviet Union. And I think maybe on a global scale, that was probably the most impactful. I mean, it dramatically changed the face of this world. We became the sole superpower at that, and we remain so today. That probably had the greatest effect on me.
And I think you're right that it does have the greatest effect on the world in and of itself, because if we talk about, you know, the man on the moon, okay, we did, you know, it's a great technological achievement, but it didn't necessarily change the lives of people, say, in Korea or Laos or Vietnam.
Certainly a significant accomplishment for our species, but in terms of, does it have anything to do with my day-to-day life other than the technologies developed? No, not really. Yeah,
and it is, and I think that the demise of the Soviet Union was one of those that had an impact around the world. As much as we like to focus on 9/11, again, if you were living in China at the time, what happened in 9/11 didn't affect you. But if you're living in China, the demise of the Soviet Union, that had a lot to do. I mean, they basically had to change their economic system a number of years down the road because they weren't getting help from other Russia anymore.
That was definitely probably the most significant global event during my lifetime. You know, what was the demise of the Soviet Union? And you're right, you know, 9/11, I mean, for us, it's certainly dramatically more significant than the rest of the world, except for maybe the Middle East, where, you know, we're now involved. But yeah, in terms of, you know, global influence, I mean, you know, just think about it. Up until, you know, I think with the demise of the Soviet Union, I mean, one of the most dramatic things is that we probably, at least up to this point and for the foreseeable future, pretty much eliminated the threat of a global nuclear holocaust.
Yep.
I mean, there's still the possibility that a nuclear exchange could take place, but on the level that would have occurred if the United States and Russia had gone toe-to-toe and started tossing nukes, that'll probably never happen again.
Yeah, you remember the TV program The Day After?
Oh, absolutely,
And that was such a big deal. I mean, I remember, you know, basically people, oh my, have to watch it, and then talking about it for days and days afterwards. And it's kind of nice to realize that that basic scenario that plays out in The Day After isn't necessarily so true anymore. I mean, we're not living under that shadow.
No. No, we aren't at all. I mean, we're certainly living under the shadow of, you know, terrorist attacks
that could
include a nuclear attack on us. But, you know, the idea that we're going to see mushroom clouds all along the eastern seaboard, I'm sorry, that is probably not going to occur again in my lifetime. And, you know, it's a good thing to be out from under.
Yes. I mean, if I had to choose, yes, that would be one of the items I would choose from. Hey, Dwayne, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Have a great Monday. Appreciate it. Dwayne gave us a call at 303-382-1150. Want to keep going back to the phones. We're going to jump and talk to Kathy in Masonville. She called 303-382-1150. Kathy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Good. What's on your mind about Ronald Reagan?
I think one of the good things he did is when we lost, I think it was over a couple hundred Marines in Beirut, he got the hell out of there.
Yeah, that is true.
And I think that's what George W. Bush ought to be doing about Iraq. He ought to be thinking about getting out, and I wish he'd look at that. I have to say, I didn't, you know, well, first I want to say I give my regards to Nancy Reagan. I admire what she's doing, trying to get people to think about stem cell research. But I think it's kind of ironic because a lot of that anti-abortion movement started under Reagan. And I personally think he really put this country on the wrong track.
In what way?
Well, I think that he allowed the conservative evangelical Christians to get a really strong, not even a toehold, but a foothold in the Republican Party. And the Republican Party that I grew up with, now I was born in 1946, so I remember Eisenhower and I remember Nixon. And Nixon certainly was not perfect. We all know that. But compared to Reagan, he was basically a social liberal. And I think Reagan has really, because of what he allowed to happen to the Republican Party, I think it's really gone in the wrong direction. And I think the Republican Party has been taken over by radical right-wing neocons, evangelical Christians. And I think the whole country is going on a conservative tilt. And that's really happened since Reagan became president. And
well, see, I would look at that, and I see where you're going with that, Kathy, but then how do we reconcile with the country going on a conservative tilt? How do you reconcile the liberal Bill Clinton presidency?
Well, I don't think that Bill Clinton, I mean, he may have personally been liberal, but I can't say that his presidency was liberal.
He was more liberal than the choice that the Republicans had. So, I mean, if you're looking, the evangelical Christians were going to choose a president, they had to side, with Dole. They had to side with Bush the first. They had to go that way if they wanted someone. But then predominantly, the country liked Clinton.
Well, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying exactly. You're saying that Clinton was a...
Well, I guess you were saying that the whole country was tilting more to the conservative direction,
yeah.
And I see that.
Right.
But I think that, I don't think it's, I guess I disagree that you think we're going as far right as I hear in your statements. I think that basically it did swing the country a little more conservative, but I think that opened the idea of the Bill Clinton, kind of a liberal, someone that isn't crazy, liberal, but was a Bill Clinton liberal because he bent, and so did Reagan. I mean, Reagan...
Bill Clinton was elected because of Ross Perot. I mean, there were three parties in play there. And I think if Clinton had been running just against George H.W. Bush, I think that Bush would have won over Clinton. And I think that Perot sucked about 25 points away.
I don't know. I mean, there are some statistical arguments for that. I'm not so certain that all the Perot people would have necessarily absolutely gone after Bush, and there's a reason, because I look at Reagan, and I see Reagan, again, and one of our guests in the first hour came up and talked a little bit about it when we talked to managing editor of Newsweek, John Meacham. When we talked to him, he talked about Reagan being a hardline fiscal conservative, but never submitted a balanced budget, and then also talked about him being, definitely a hawk, if you're talking about war expectations, but then was the one that dismantled a lot of the nuclear weapons. And I think when you talked about the idea early in the conversation about you wish that Bush would look more at how Reagan handled Beirut, I would just look at more, I wish that Bush would look more as to how Reagan handled foreign policy in general. I mean, Reagan wasn't necessarily quick to pull the trigger. He did do a couple of times where you're looking at that going, man, that was a blunder. But he didn't have this idea of the march to war that I think we got with Iraq.
Well, I mean, I think he certainly had the aura of being, the cowboy that shoots from the hip, and maybe that sort of gave the Soviet Union a bit of fear or something like that, because they thought maybe he was unpredictable. But he did have kind of a rotten foreign policy. I mean, look what he did in Latin America with the Sandinistas and all that, and Oliver North and that whole thing. And it was only because George H.W. Bush got in, that those guys got pardoned. And a lot of those same people now are still working for the Bush administration. But, and I remember I was doing environmental work in Wyoming at the time when he was elected, and that's when Gail Norton's boss came in. What was his name? He was bald with glasses.
Yeah,
James Watt.
Yep.
And I think that really pointed the country into a bad direction from an environmental point of view. I mean, I experienced that. The other thing is, I can just tell you from my own perspective and what happened to me in my life, the economy was not a very good economy. And I was really having a hard time making ends meet. Sometimes I had two and three jobs, and that was... And for a while, I was on unemployment, and I went in, and the guy told me, he said, there are so many people that are unemployed in this country right now, and we can't keep track of them, because once they go through their unemployment benefits, they drop off of the screen. And I think that the economy was really bad, and he was busy spending money on these huge weapons, and he was talking about the Star Wars thing. And I just think that he pointed this country in the wrong direction, and I think it's... He basically, for me, Reagan was the beginning of the end of this country.
Now, do you think we're still going down that road to the end of the country?
Absolutely. I mean, with Bush in and all the neocons that are running things and the evangelical Christians that have so much power. I mean, look at this state. I mean, this state, the Republican Party, has been overrun by these right-wing radicals who have caucused themselves in.
Well, see, and I agree with you to a certain extent. I don't think overrun would be the right term in my mind, because, strangely enough, the people that are very, very passionate about something just have a tendency to show up more often than the people that go, nah, I kind of care about that. So when people are very active about a particular cause, and that's part of the caucus issue, and that's why you probably have people like Mike Miles and Schaefer sitting above Coors and sitting above Salazar at the caucuses, because their people come out.
I don't see Mike Miles as a flaming liberal. I mean, he graduated eighth from his class in West Point. He was in counterterrorism. He worked for the State Department. I mean, does that make him a liberal?
Oh, no. What I'm saying, though, is that Miles is based on his candidacy more liberal than Salazar is, and Schaefer is more conservative than Coors is. And what I'm saying is, when you end up at the caucus system, because the people that are on those, on the far sides are more energized, they have a tendency at the caucuses and some of these smaller meetings to show up, so they get a bigger voice. And I think that's what we get with the evangelicals. They don't necessarily have a bigger voice, But they show up. That's the problem. They keep showing up to all the meetings, and they keep getting all their speeches are covered. It's simply because they show up in greater numbers. Kathy, I appreciate the phone call. I'm running late to news, so I've got to stop there. We've got Van and Cal and Preston all sitting there. We're going to talk about Ronald Reagan, what you think his legacy is, good, bad, or indifferent. Because, absolutely, I know that we are remembering the man, but there are things, and Kathy actually touched on one of them, and hopefully I'll get a chance to discuss that with you. One of those issues in which Reagan, the image of Reagan, in my mind, was shattered. Again, I think he's a great president, one of the greatest presidents this country's ever had. I have a lot of respect for him. In fact, when I think of a president, I normally start with Ronald Reagan and then go out from there and look at characteristics that I like in presidents. So many times he is my archetype for a president, but he is my archetype with fallacies. He was one of the presidents that taught me, yeah, all presidents are going to lie to you. Yep, they sure are. And he did on a number of occasions, right to my face, watching that TV screen. He did. But at least we're honest about it. I don't know what you think. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. What do you think of President Ronald Reagan now that he has passed? What's the memory that you thought of when you heard that he had passed? Good or bad? I just want to hear. What did you think of? What's the Reagan legacy? A couple of years from now, when our kids or our kids' kids are studying history, what are going to be in those couple of paragraphs? Because that's all Reagan's going to get in the history books, or a couple of paragraphs. What are they going to say about him? 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein on AM 1150, KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
And now it's time to check in with the man who absolutely will have at least, well, a small footnote in the history pages of broadcasting journalism excellence.
There you go.
That is Tim McLaughlin. Unfortunately, it will be the what not to do page, but that's okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Yes, it's, you know, I mean, one of the examples of don't do this, you shouldn't do that. What's going on in news, Tim?
It's mostly sunny and 96 right now. Our hot weather means an increased risk of fire. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Pretty quiet drive on the freeway system around town. Folks moving along at posted speeds according to the CDOT maps. And certainly no accidents or stalls to get in the way. A couple of problems, though, along Wadsworth Boulevard this go-around. One is an injury accident at 10th and Wadsworth. And one is a stalled vehicle at Quincy and Wadsworth. Someone there with a flat tire. Police are en route to help protect that situation there. Castrol GTX high mileage with the information. It's engineered for cars with more than 75,000 miles. Protects against oil burn-off better than other leading motor oils. So give your car Castrol GTX high mileage. It helps older cars feel young again. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Fire danger around the state is high because of the hot weather and low humidity. The National Weather Service has issued red flag warnings until 9 tonight for north central Colorado mountains and valleys, Front Range foothills, Park County, and the Palmer Divide. This report brought to you by the network of 18 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. When the nights are hot, there are burglars about. Denver police warning that leaving your windows open at night could be risky. They say if you open the windows, be sure to place an object next to the window so it can only be opened a crack. The $1.3 million settlement between the city of Denver and the family of Paul Childs is likely to be approved by the Denver City Council tonight. The developmentally disabled 15-year-old was shot and killed by a Denver police officer last summer. The tents go up, the prices come down. The John Elway used car tent event starts Wednesday. Prices start under $5,000. Save big on hundreds of fuel-efficient cars. The John Elway used car event at all locations. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:41.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, KNRCradio.com. KNRCradio.com. And then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNIC.
Americana music comes to the Arvada Center this Saturday night, complete with bluegrass, jazz, honky-tonk, and western swing, when Pete Wernick's Live 5 and Haldon Wofford and the High Beams perform in the Arvada Center's beautiful outdoor amphitheater this Saturday, June 12th at 7:30 p.m. Pete Wernick's Live 5 will play what they like to call flexigrass, a unique fusion of supercharged bluegrass and traditional jazz. Local favorites Haldon Wofford and the High Beams will open for Live 5 with their high-energy, real country music sound. Tickets for Pete Wernick's Live 5 with Haldon Wofford and the High Beams are $20 for covered seating and $10 for lawn seating. For more information or to purchase tickets, contact the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200 or visit their website at www.arvadacenter.com. Don't miss Pete Wernick's Live 5 unique flexigrass sound and the real country music of Haldon Wofford and the High Beams this Saturday night at the Arvada Center. Call 720-898-7200.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, mostly sunny and hot through the rest of the afternoon. Clear skies tonight will cool off to around 60 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little bit cooler. We'll top out in the mid-80s tomorrow. Mostly sunny and 96 now. KNRC news time is 1:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Does your gas barbecue grill pass the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio inviting you to visit any of Lair's three beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality gas barbecues, including premium gas grills from MHP. Using only state-of-the-art materials and workmanship, MHP grills are built to withstand Colorado's harsh environment with unique features you simply won't find on ordinary barbecues. Since 1961, when they invented the world's first gas grill, MHP has been leading the way in quality. Family owned and operated since 1954, Lair's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in gas barbecues. We also have the state's best selection of quality wrought iron patio furniture at Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton. There's a Lair's near you. For premium gas grills from MHP, it's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Colorado's barbecue experts.
Where will Enid and Bill Clinton be in June? The National Book Expo in Chicago. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Before you lose contact and you're not able to share, in our case, you're not able to share all those wonderful memories that we have. And We had a wonderful life.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein here on AM 1150 KNRC. 44 minutes past 1 o'clock here on a beautiful Monday. Man, it is gorgeous out there and getting hotter and hotter and hotter, but it's going to get cooler later in the week for you, and that's a good thing. And it's going to be a good thing, hopefully, for us firefighters. We've just gotten word that a wildland fire has broken out shortly after noon today up in an area of Jefferson County between Waterton and Deer Creek Canyon. So if you're looking out that direction, you see smoke in the air. Yeah, they know about it. Local fire departments are calling in crews along with the U.S. Forest Service. They're going to send in some fire engines, and don't know about the size of the fire yet, but we'll try to keep you updated as soon as we can. Also, I think you heard Tim McLaughlin, Colorado Republicans have lost a U.S. Supreme Court appeal today over whether or not a congressional map that was favorable to Democrats should stay in effect through this fall's elections, or whether or not they get to decide. So the appeal was denied, so just again, keep you up to date. But today we are talking about Ronald Reagan and the passing of Reagan. I want to know what your Reagan memory is. When you heard that he passed, what did you think of? What is the moment or the memory that cropped up in your mind about Ronald Reagan? And also, what is the Reagan legacy? What is it that you think will be written in those textbooks years from now? Because, again, he's only going to get a couple of paragraphs. What are they going to write? How are they going to encapsulate? Because, come on, you look at Time magazine. They're doing 39 pages. I'm not going to get a 39-page section about Ronald Reagan in the history book. What is his legacy going to be? What are they going to write about him inside of those history books? 303-382-1150 is a phone number. And I'll talk to you about a couple of times that Reagan really let me down. There's a couple of issues that I look at and go, oh, man. And there was one in particular. Watching him on the TV screen, I can still tell you where I was sitting and how I felt when I looked and went, he just lied to me. Hey! That kind of shattered my perfect image of what a president can be, but that's a good thing. Made me be more adult about it and realize that, yeah, you know, those guys are going to lie to you. Every single one of them has, and every single one of them will continue to. There isn't a single one that I can think of that did not at one point or another lie about what was going on. Even one of the presidents I admire a lot, FDR, in one of his fireside chats, actually talked about attacks by the Nazis on a U.S. boat, and the boat was actually helping the British try to find the Nazi subs. So it wasn't an unprovoked attack, but even FDR had a tendency to bend and twist the truth. So it's nothing that we can basically just gloss over. 303-382-1150 is a phone number. We're going to talk to Preston right now. He called us from Denver. Preston, thanks a lot for calling AM 1150 KNRC. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. What's on your mind about Reagan and his passing this weekend?
Well, first, regarding some of the coverage in the media, like some of the fawning from people like Rush Limbaugh, it reminds me of something we'd see in North Korea. over their fallen leader.
Yeah, I know. That's the one thing that it is one thing that I looked at, and I was talking to Doug Kellett this morning a little bit, and he's like, oh, man, you're just going to go in and just bash Reagan for 3 hours. And I said, no, I'm going to be honest about it. I'm going to be open about it. I'm going to say that, yeah, he's a great man, but he did have some problems. There were some fallacies in what he had done, and, you know, and we can point one of those. Kathy brought it up, and one that I speak of a lot, and we'll talk about a little bit later, is Iran-Contra. I look at that and go, ah, man, crap.
Yeah, and what was called the constructive engagement with South Africa that
yeah.
led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people in Mozambique,
yeah.
the CIA exercises in Angola, and we could go on. But regarding the victory
yeah.
in the Cold War, I think most of that war, and it continues to be a victory in terms of letting corporations just go wild in that place. Now they've got, instead of a Soviet tyranny, they have, they have a former KGB agent at the head of the KGB to vote for.
Yeah, well, would that, now who would have thought, when the fall of the Soviet Empire, who would have thought in the year 2004 there would be a former head of the KGB running the country? Would have thought that would happen.
Exactly, and the other people are all the former communist bosses who are now making, you know, wild sums of money while most of the population falls into desperate poverty. I was reading the New Internationalist, some of the numbers. And it says between 1990 and 1999, the number of people living on $2 a day or less more than tripled. And back in 1989, 14 million people in the USSR lived in poverty. 9 years later, that number was 147 million. That's our victory that we're so proud of. That's really amazing. We don't even talk about the results of this alleged victory. We just all this triumphalism about how great we are and we brought freedom and all this stuff. Look at what's going on in the region.
Well, I know that. But then I keep looking at it thinking that, you know, we face down the communists and the idea of a planned economy, and at least the individuals inside of the Soviet Union now at least have the idea of a choice. I mean, there's more economic freedom, and I guess that's what we're going. I mean, for my token, the idea is, yeah, I wish that we could be a better caretaker, that I wish we could help these other developing nations, you know, with a helping hand, start them up and show them how to run a good democracy. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so afraid of what's happening in Iraq, because our idea of bringing democracy to other countries, we don't have a very good track record of that. And especially if we look at what happened inside of the Soviet Union, we gave them a blueprint, but we didn't help them implement it. We were so much further down the road, and I'm afraid of that's what's going to happen inside of Iraq. But I keep looking at that thinking, well, you know, but to a certain extent, the people inside of Russia have to take a little bit of the responsibility there as well, that, you know, for some of the corruption, they own it as well, unfortunately.
And I think people in Russia like Gorbachev and Glasnost deserve the credit to the extent that the country has opened up politically. I mean, he freed, I think it was Sakharov and other political prisoners, and opened up some space. And this weapons buildup had very little, nothing to do with it, actually. I mean, Reagan was reading the cue cards from General Electric from the time he was an actor. Then he was an actor in the Oval Office doing the same thing, pushing more weapons buildup. And
yeah.
they had this revisionist history of what happened during the Cold War. And they said, well, it was because of all these weapons we bought. No, it wasn't. It was things going on within Russia. And furthermore, if we buy it regarding Russia, we're going to buy it regarding ourselves. And we're going to it's just the way that they sell more of their weapons plans to us. As soon as the wall came down, Dick Cheney was there pushing for more military spending, which in essence is a different form of welfare. I mean, people working at Lockheed are getting government welfare. They don't want it for single mothers, but they want it for themselves.
See, and I would side with you in that side that, yeah, in the form some of the defense contracts absolutely are corporate welfare. But I do think that the weapons buildup itself was an economic game, knowing that the disadvantage inside of a planned economy, and you only have X number of resources and you have to delegate them, if you force the Soviet Union to spend so much money on weapons buildup, other things end up falling apart, infrastructure and some other things. No, not the best thing for the Soviet people, but the idea was, you know, just tipping the scales. And I think that's where economically I look at it and go, okay, I can understand the game. I don't necessarily like it, but I understand how the game was played, and for me it works.
And their big military bureaucracy was more than happy to secure themselves, their money and their jobs while they threaten the Earth. That's our legacy, this Cold War, and it continues to threaten the Earth. We're building more nuclear weapons. You can read Helen Caldicott's book on the new nuclear danger. That danger has not receded at all because we're continuing with our plans to militarize space We're investing $11 billion in biochem weapons.
Yeah, but that's all mostly recent stuff, too, though. And that's the thing that has hurt me a lot about the current President Bush is the idea that, you know, he sits there and, you know, backs out of a number of treaties and then talks about how we're now going to revamp some of our nuclear arsenal. And I look at that and go, yeek. I mean, you're almost trying to start another idea of an arms race. And that, for me, is a very dangerous attitude. I was hoping that we could have put that issue to bed, you know, with the Soviet Union. But I don't think we have, unfortunately. And I think you're right that as to why it's coming about.
One last comment,
yeah,
if I may. You know, you've got Putin, the KGB head,
yep,
running Russia. And, of course, we had the former head of the CIA,
yep,
George Bush,
yep,
running this country, and now his son. And people, I think, are hesitant to even talk about it because it's such a spooky agency in some ways. But, frankly, I think we have to talk about it, and I think we have to overcome it. Enough of this secrecy and pounding the heads of people like in the global south. I don't think the war so much was east versus west as it's been north against the global south and trying to get them to conform to our way, our view of the world.
I think you're right, Preston. I think that unfortunately there's been the idea of, well, you've got to like it our way. And when we talk about the idea of basically bringing democracy to Iraq, unfortunately we're talking about an American democracy, and that, I think, is part of the issue and part of where the rest of the world looks at us and goes, you arrogant SOBs. Yeah, I can't believe it. That's what you think this is all about. We spent a lot of time there, Preston. I'm right up against another break. Van, Cal, hang on. I'm going to make sure I get out of here right now so we've got some time when we come back. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. We're talking about Ronald Reagan and his legacy, 303-382-1150. What do you think the history books are going to say about Ronald Reagan when your kids or your grandkids are studying him in history class? When they come home and say, hey, we're learning about Ronald Reagan in school today. What's the book going to say? Let me know. 303-382-1150. We're back after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein. KNRC.
We have to talk.
Tired of just surviving life? Then you won't want to miss Franklin Graham's message of hope for your stressed out soul tonight on Denver 7 at 9 p.m. Summertime means the Hudson Gardens and Event Center Gigs in the Gardens Concert Series. And this year's lineup is not to be missed. Join AM 1150 KNRC in the beautiful surroundings of the Hudson Gardens. An easy drive from anywhere in the Denver area. 3 miles north of C-470 at 6115 South Santa Fe Drive in Littleton. This Sunday, it's Americana music Colorado style with Firefall. And don't miss next Sunday, June 20th, an evening with Dotsero. Tickets are $7.50 for adults and $2 for children, and are available by telephone at 303-797-8565, extension 321, or online at hudsongardens.org. Plan to bring the whole family and get there early to grab a prime spot. Gates open at 5:30, and the music starts at 6:30 this Sunday at the Hudson Gardens and Event Center. The Gigs in the Gardens Concert Series, every Sunday, all summer long, brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
At CA, we're the management software experts, but we don't just manage servers and databases. Our software helps manage ATMs, PDAs, VIPs, and URLs, payrolls, road tolls, phone calls, church halls, medical records, financial records, academic records, and probably also some record stores. Imports, exports, ports, sports, and even a few forts. To find out more about CA's commitment to improving everyday life, every day, go to ca.com/radio.
Classical music followed by a late dinner.
Going to a funny play with drinks and dancing afterwards.
An art exhibit, gallery walk.
No, an outdoor arts festival.
Summer in Breckenridge is all about the arts. There's live music most nights at the Riverwalk event tent. Art galleries, festivals, free performances, theater, and workshops. Over 150 things to do and see. Breckenridge. Visit gobrecknow.com today for competitive rates and tailored vacation. Have a cool summer experience in Breckenridge.
Call 1-888-MY-BILLS now, and a debt counselor will help consolidate your bills into one affordable monthly payment. Call 1-888-MY-BILLS or go to mybills.org.
We are gathered here today to join this station and this listener in holy matrimony. Do you, the listener, take traffic and weather together through tie-ups and sudden showers for newscasts and financial information from talk show to talk show till power outage do you part?
I do.
I now pronounce you listener and listenee. You may now kiss the dial.
Ah, sheer wedded bliss. Hope you are enjoying the honeymoon as much as we are. We plan for it to be a long one. AM 1150, KNRC. You've been scanning the dials looking for a talk radio station that actually has more talk content than clutter. found your locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC. Those out-of-town owners took away your talk radio. We are here to give it back. AM 1150 KNRC. More talk, less clutter. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's interesting because there's such a stark contrast between his congeniality and ability to make friends across the aisle and today's environment.
Optimistic and positive, deeply loved our country and was kind and respectful to every kind of person.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein here on AM 1150 KNRC. I want to jump right back to the phones. Cal in Lakewood. We got about a minute or minute and a half, Cal. What are your ideas about Reagan and the Reagan legacy?
Well, my condolences, of course, to Nancy Reagan and her family. But I'm afraid most of the legacy that I remember of him is negative.
Yeah, in what manner? What negatives?
The deficits that he ran up were greater than all the other 39 presidents prior to him combined.
Yep.
Many scandals during his administration, Iran-Contra.
Yeah, that's one that does it for me.
The scandal with Phil Wynn from Colorado.
I forgot about the HUD, you're right.
Lost.
Yep.
The defense contractor scandals. You probably remember the $6,000 Allen Ranches.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten that was on his watch, too.
$6,000 toilet seats. The savings and loan scandal, of course, Resolution Trust Company, that lost hundreds of billions of dollars for Americans, and that was due to deregulation, which he really pushed. And then I think two big things would be he legitimized selfishness and greed because he really pushed people keeping their money, taking care of themselves, keeping their taxes, rather than taxes being seen as an investment, something that helps the public good.
Yeah, you're right, Cal. Unfortunately, we've got to leave it there. We'll talk a little bit more about IRS, Reagan legacy, everything else with you. That's next hour. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bob Kerr at the White House. Former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev will be one of the international dignitaries attending Ronald Reagan's funeral on Friday. Mr. Reagan once challenged him to tear down the Berlin Wall, which later did fall. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice tells MSNBC the late president always spoke his mind.
He understood that when you're talking about liberty and freedom, you have to speak in clear tones because there are people who are living in tyranny who need to know that there are those who believe that they don't have to be in that condition for their entire lives.
Tens of thousands expected to attend Friday's service. Ronald Reagan's body now lying in repose at his presidential library in California. A deadly day in both Iraq and Afghanistan. A U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside bombing near Baghdad. Another was killed by a bomb in Afghanistan, where violence is on the increase. I'm Bob Kerr, NBC News Radio.
I'm pretty comfortable being out of control and being uncomfortable. And yeah, you think you control what's going on around you, but guess what? It ain't all up to you. That's the light going on, that you control what you can control, and you learn how to ride the rest of the stuff with grace. Just don't panic and try and look cool doing it, you know?
But... Jockey, what's in your comfort zone? Tell your story at jockey.com.
Small businesses, big businesses. Who's there to help all those business owners? To find the right commercial property? To fight for improvements on tax codes and encourage real estate investment? To serve everyone would take a small army, wouldn't it? The National Association of Realtors has 1 million members, and we're doing everything in our power to help all businesses, big and small. The National Association of Realtors, 1 million members working for you.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 97 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The hot, dry weather means Colorado is a tinderbox. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just getting word of an injury accident eastbound I-70 at the I-225 interchange. Supposed to involve a motorcycle. A lot of emergency equipment heading in there, as you might suspect. Everything else on the freeway system still very, very quiet, moving along at posted speeds for the most part. Be on the lookout for vapor lock a little bit later on this afternoon. We've already had one incident of that this afternoon. Southbound Wadsworth at 10th Avenue, an accident with injuries. Another injury accident at Park Avenue West and Champa Street. And eastbound Evans, just a couple blocks east of Colorado Boulevard, Denver Fire Equipment investigating the source of some kind of an odor inside the business. Subway with the information. Try one of Subway's 4 new fresh salads, like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb control dressings. Subway, eat fresh. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Officials are saying that fire danger is high across the state because of our hot, dry weather. In addition, there's been no rain to speak of along the Front Range over the past week. The National Weather Service has issued a red flag warning for north central Colorado mountains and valleys, Front Range foothills, Park County, and the Palmer Divide. That warning in effect until 9 tonight. This report brought to you by the network of 18 John Elway Auto Nation showrooms. We have reports of one wildfire this afternoon. Firefighters working to contain a brush fire in Jefferson County. The Trapper Mountain Fire burning southwest of C-470 in Kipling, west of the Lockheed Martin facility. No one being evacuated at this time. The U.S. Forest Service is assisting a volunteer fire department in battling that blaze. Hot night, burglar's delight. Now that the warm weather is here, Denver Police Spokesman Sonny Jackson says some folks leave their homes vulnerable to break-ins.
People leave their doors open as they're just ventilate the house, let air coming through, which tends, they forget to lock the door, which is a problem. And then you have thieves or burglars come in and come into the house and unbeknownst to them while they're in the backyard or another room and that type of thing.
Jackson says on hot nights, some people leave their windows open. If you do this, says Jackson, place an object next to the window so that it can't be open more than just a crack. In sports, the Colorado Rockies play the last game of their four-game homestand against the San Francisco Giants this afternoon. That game just getting underway. Rocks have only won one game of the series so far. Sean Estes on the hill for the Rocks this afternoon. At John Elway showrooms, get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty. And at their gigantic used car event, get the lowest prices in town on every used vehicle. Starts Wednesday. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 2:04.
AM 1150 KNRC.
Hello?
Where good talk happens.
We have to talk.
AM 1150 KNRC.
Honey, when are you going to fix that hole in the wall? And what about the basement? You said you'd fix up the basement.
Broadway Construction can assist you with your home projects ranging from drywalling and plaster repair to old home restorations and complete home construction. Broadway Construction also works on commercial construction projects of all sizes. Broadway Construction is a family-owned business, and they approach each project with an understanding of the impact a construction project can have on your life or business. Serving the Front Range from Castle Rock to Boulder, Broadway Construction is committed to traditional business values and operate in the spirit of doing business the right way. Broadway Construction, complete home and commercial construction services. 303-926-4410.
Oh, I love the basement. Thanks for working with Broadway Construction.
When it comes to commercial or home construction projects of all sizes, do it the right way with Broadway.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With a mix of sun and clouds and near record highs today, we await the arrival of a cold front that's just off to the north, and that's going to bring some showers and thunderstorms our way by Wednesday. As for temperatures, we'll top out around 100 for the high, 59 for the low, 85 tomorrow, and 84 on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny and 97 now. KNRC News Time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:06 here at AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein today. Enid has the week off. She will return on Monday. But remember, this Saturday, you actually can join Enid down at the Paramount Theater. Well, she's only going to be there for a short amount of time because the main event is going to be Bill Maher. She will be down there introducing Bill Maher at the Paramount Theater this Saturday at 8 o'clock. If you want tickets, 303-830-8497. Now, you're going to have to buy them if you call that number, 303-830-8497. You also can get on knrcradio.com. We will be giving away some Bill Maher tickets later this week, so you've got to tune in between noon and 3 each and every day this week if you want to check out Bill Maher on Saturday for free, courtesy of AM 1150 KNRC. In fact, the crown jewel of this week are going to be a pair of front row tickets to go check out Mr. Maher at the Paramount. We have set aside a pair of front row tickets. Two of you will be sitting in the front row to see Bill Maher at the Paramount, but those tickets are coming later this week. No, I'm not going to tell you when, because if I did that, you'd only listen on that day. You know, I know you listen to those other radio stations. They say, listen at 7:20 in the morning, listen at 3:40 in the afternoon to win. So all you have to do is tune in for that little bit of time. Aha! We are not that stupid, although you may accuse us of that at some time. But yes, we are going to ask you to try to listen just for the rest of the week. I'm not going to tell you when, but we will be giving away a pair of those tickets. So we'll give away a lot of Bill Maher tickets this week, but especially those pair of front row tickets to go see Bill Maher Saturday the 12th at 8 o'clock. KNRCradio.com is the website if you want to make sure you get into the show and don't want to wait by your phone and make sure that speed dial is working. Now, what we're doing here on AM 1150 KNRC today is talking about Ronald Reagan. He passed over the weekend. Unless you've been under a rock, you probably know that. Now, the thing that we're looking at, though, is looking at your memory of Ronald Reagan. Now, when you heard that he had passed, what did you think of? What is it that popped up in your mind? And what is the Reagan legacy? Now, I've been asking that question all throughout the day. And we figured when we were talking about the Reagan legacy, well, why don't we go ahead and talk to a historian, or at least a guy who writes books about history, and we can talk to him about the Reagan legacy. We're very happy here on AM 1150 KNRC to have author Ken Davis with us. He basically is the author of the Don't Know Much About series. You know, don't know much about history, don't know much about science, don't know much about the presidents, don't know much about the solar system. I'm just curious that when we're thinking about doing this interview, why did it get passed to me, the issue of don't know much about? Why did I get this fax? Why? No, I don't think that's personal. But anyway, Ken, thank you so much for joining us here on the Ian Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks for carving out a little bit of your time for us. We appreciate it. Now, when you heard on Saturday that President Reagan had passed, what did you think of? What was the memory that popped up into your head, that defining moment, or what was your image of Ronald Reagan?
I have to say that I guess because of the connection to D-Day, the first thing I thought about was Ronald Reagan at the D-Day commemoration on the 40th anniversary, of course, 20 years ago, and that very brief speech he gave, which seemed to just perfectly encapsulate what that day was all about, what D-Day was all about. And that was the part of the Reagan genius. He was the man who could seize a moment like that and just absolutely crystallize it, not in a half-hour speech, not in an hour speech, but in 7 minutes. And politicians could learn a lot from Ronald Reagan. He, you know, as Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg, 2.5 minutes, Ronald Reagan in 7 minutes did it at D-Day.
Yeah.
An extraordinary character. We're going to probably have to put him in the ranks of the 20th century presidents as the one of the most important, one of the most significant, whether you like or, and significant is different in a way from, you know, great or,
oh, yeah,
or brilliant or, you know, he was there at the moment and helped to precipitate the moment when communism, as we knew it for 50 years, went into its death throes.
Yeah, he was riding the bicycle when the gears changed and did it admirably, because sometimes, you know, the gears throw you off and they change that quickly, you slip and you fall down, and he just kept going, pedaling and really did a fantastic job.
You know, in many ways, just as they said Richard Nixon was the only man who could have gone to China, maybe Ronald Reagan was the only man who could have confronted Mikhail Gorbachev. I wonder if a Democrat, perhaps, you know, a more liberal or centered Democrat, would have been able to do the things that Ronald Reagan was able to do in terms of accommodating Mr. Gorbachev to a degree, you know, would it have been seen as, you know, selling out to Russia.
Yeah, see, I go a little further, Mr. Davis. I even think that if you even take some of the conservatives and some of the Republicans, I don't think, even if you take some of the Republican presidents, you put, you know, George Herbert Walker Bush, or even the current president, George Bush in that situation with Gorbachev. I don't think they, as presidents, match up either. I think that Reagan is very specific, that he across from Gorbachev at that table is a very interesting symbiotic relationship because of what they could get from each other and how they were presented inside of their countries and how they could shape the policy. I think that they were very significant. I don't think another Republican could have done what Reagan did either.
Yeah, that I guess that's the point I was getting at. You also have to say then that Ronald Reagan stands at that moment in terms of what is the most one of the most important history stories of the 20th century, certainly the most important story of the last 50 years, the end of communism as we knew it. You know, I grew up in the era of duck and cover drills and going down to the school basement to stand there for the nuclear attack drills. And, you know, all of that colored 50 years of everything that happened in America, whether it was foreign policy or whether we went to the Olympics or, you know, defections to the ballet. Our relations with the Soviet Union affected everything. And then overnight, it seems, it was gone, not with a bang as we feared for all those years, but a whimper. And Ronald Reagan, along with another, you know, part of this is always the confluence of events of history. And this was part of Reagan's luck or whatever. He was in the right place at the right time sometimes. But the confluence of people, Gorbachev, Reagan couldn't do what he did without Gorbachev on the other side of the table. Mrs. Thatcher, yeah. the spine of on the right in England. Lech Walesa, the Polish union worker who transformed that country. The Pope, all of these people, each playing a very, very critical role in the transformation of Europe at the end of the 20th century.
And we're talking to Ken Davis. He's the author of the Don't Know Much About series, Don't Know Much About History, and that's what we're talking to him about right now. Also, he does Don't Know Much About Presidents, Don't Know Much About the 50 States. He does some things for picture books for children, middle grades, biographies for older people. So you can go out there. He's also a contributing editor to USA Weekend, where his Don't Know Much About quizzes are there weekly. And he's written for publications like the New York Times, the Weekend Review, Newsday, the Washington Post, San Francisco Chronicle, and many, many, many others. He also was featured prominently in the Walter Cronkite documentary, American Presidents, The Most Powerful Men on Earth. And again, he was also part of the A&E documentary, The 12 Apostles, History's Great Revolutionaries, that aired on December 1999, I believe. So, Ken, now looking at Reagan, looking at his legacy, what place in history do you think that he occupies? You said that he kind of ranks up near the top of the presidents in the last 20th century. How close? I mean, I kind of think that really for my generation, and even walking around a lot of people that I talk to at the office, and again, no scientific poll here, just basically an anecdote, that when we talk about presidents, many people, if I push them a little bit, actually admitted that, you know, when they think of a president, they first start with a picture of Ronald Reagan. When they say the president of the U.S., the first image in their mind is Reagan.
Yeah, that's interesting, and that's maybe generational. I'm not sure. That's an interesting one. You know, I grew up in a time when president meant because of the death, the way John F. Kennedy died,
oh, yeah.
And we thought of president. And then the flip side of that, president for a long time was Richard M. Nixon, and that's part of what Reagan did, because coming in the 70s, it was a terrible time in America for reasons other than disco. You know, we had the aftermath of Vietnam. We went through Watergate and the disgrace of a president. We had two very good and well-meaning men serve as president, Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter. Good men, decent men, but not great presidents. The Oval Office itself was, if not in utter disrepair, it was certainly needed a breath of fresh air, a breath of life. And in from central casting, it seems, out of Hollywood, comes this man who had a vision of the presidency that made it larger than life again. And so it's understandable that a good many people in this country did grow up for a long time with the image of president being Ronald Reagan, and he looked presidential. He could play the part. And one biographer of him called it, you know, the role of a lifetime, and in many ways it was. He understood the symbolism, the ceremony, the trappings of the presidency, apart from his policies, of course. And I think that was an important thing in America. It's also his characteristic personality. He was an optimistic guy. He was genial. He was somebody everybody liked. Even if there were certainly people on the fringes of some of the political parties who didn't like Ronald Reagan. But Tip O'Neill, the great old Democratic, old nine New Dealer Democrat, and he and Ronald Reagan could sit down and, you know, share jelly beans, and they could argue about politics, but still be decent to each other. And that's something I think that's been lost in Washington, and Reagan brought that sense of civility and decency and decorum to the presidency.
Now, let's step out and look at that a little bit longer, Ken. Let's talk about how Reagan shaped the presidency and what the presidents, you know, even now, looking at, you know, Bush the first and Clinton and now our second Bush presidency, what they have to live up with. I mean, how do you think Reagan shaped the office of the presidency?
Well, I think, as I was saying, he gave it that sense, restored the sense of dignity, decorum, almost majesty that it had lost over the, especially over the 70s. And if you go back further, you know, Lyndon Johnson left the presidency in, not in disgrace, but in seriously unpopular with a great many people. And so the White House, the Oval Office, was not seen for a long generation, say from, you know, 1964 until Ronald Reagan was elected. It was not the powerful office that it once had been, especially if you grew up, certainly if you said president to an earlier generation, my father's generation. He was a World War II veteran. President meant FDR.
Yeah.
Obviously, so having served, been elected four times, something unprecedented, and of course won't happen again. And that's why I think you'll be able to put Ronald Reagan, certainly among 20th century presidents, you know, right there, a notch or so below FDR. Maybe Teddy Roosevelt, earlier in the century had that kind of larger than life characteristic that people really think of when they imagine presidents.
Now, Mr. Davis, one of the things that we're seeing now inside of the presidency is many times when something goes wrong, the presidency has a tendency, the administration has a tendency to go, well, the guy before me did it. You know, it's because of what they did before me. Now, I look at this in a positive angle and think about Reagan, and I argue that the Reagan presidency was almost like throwing a rock into the pool, and we're still feeling the ripples today of the Reagan presidency. Do you agree or do you disagree that the effects of Reagan's presidency are still with us today?
You know, I think each man that has come in has such a different personality, and the times change our views of the presidency from one to the next. I don't think that, you know, any, obviously with George Bush, tremendous popularity during the Gulf War, then fades because he seems to have no connection with the common man, which is the exact opposite of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton had a tremendous connection to the common man, but had other failings and flaws, obviously.
Yeah.
I think the jury is still out on the current president, and I think that every president will look to Ronald Reagan as a sort of the ideal of how to run the ship. But it's not an easy thing, and I mean it in this more in the sense of the ceremonial and how he was able to project the power of the office, and I think back to that moment on D-Day. But also there were little bits and pieces along the line. Some of these things are luck, some of them were by design. The fact that the hostages were released at the very, very moment that he was being inaugurated, some people have suggested that there was some deal had been cut to do that. I've never seen any evidence to confirm that. The assassination attempt seemed to make Ronald Reagan bigger than life. Here he was, this guy who was joking in the hospital, in the emergency room with his doctors, telling Nancy, "Honey, I forgot the duck." I mean, it just sort of cemented him in the popular imagination as this guy who was larger than life, and he did have good luck, it seems. And luck is, as I think Casey Stengel once said, the residue of design. It may have been Leo DeRocher, but at any rate, those things factor into how the American people saw this guy. They did see him as larger than life. He did play the role of president as if it was, a character in a movie. And I'm not denigrating him to say that, because it gave the presidency a stature that had been sorely lacking.
Yeah.
And I think that it'd be very, very difficult for any of his successors to live up to that. I think that George W. Bush has tried to emulate some of those things in many respects. I think the atmosphere in the country is very different. The brush cutting down on the ranch in Texas is one obvious symbol. And it's also obviously different that Ronald Reagan came in with a very clear election and a much more united country in many respects. And then, of course, his re-election in 1984, one of the great landslides in American history. So this was clearly one of the most popular presidents in our time.
And I think you're right when you talk about George W. looking back, and I even go into the campaign when he talks about the idea of being a uniter, not a divider. I think he got that idea from the Reagan candidacy and how Reagan portrayed himself and Reagan's landslide victories. And I think because, that George W. was very much involved in his father's election campaign, and he saw the inner workings of what was happening inside of Reagan and how to run, and really shaped, getting his father elected the first time. And I think he does have that kind of leftover and some very big influence from Reagan. And strangely enough, myself being an orator, I make my living predominantly simply by talking and opening my big mouth. And so you look at that and you think that I go back to Reagan and I watch him and he was incredible. How he spoke. You talk about the D-Day speech. I even think when the Challenger explodes, and then when you look at some of the others that amazing speeches, and short, quick, to the point, not long, but what he said was phenomenal.
And he was not great in press conferences, as the current president isn't either. He wasn't great, off the cuff, although telling a joke or, a quick story, that would be one thing. But he wasn't best on his feet. He was a guy who lived by the 3x5 file cards with his notes. But when he gave a speech, you sat and watched and you listened, because he was a practiced performer. And sometimes that's what the president needs to be. And the current president, I don't think as much as he may try to emulate that. There are very few people who could emulate the ability Ronald Reagan had to reach out to an audience, to speak to the average American. And that was certainly part of his legacy and part of great part of his success. I think the country was also in a slightly different mood, back in 1980. I think we were looking for somebody to be a uniter and not a divider. And the country was much less fractious. There's a, on both sides of the aisle, more of a mean-spiritedness in American politics today. It's certainly been there in the past. It's nothing new. There's always been contempt in American politics for the other side. But it's reached a new level, fed in part by the media, the 24-hour radio and television services that just have to keep, have this enormous appetite for people to scream at each other. And, that's changed the atmospherics of politics in America as well.
It has. Well, Mr. Davis, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have today. I really appreciate you stopping by and joining us here on AM 1150 KNRC for a short bit of time.
Well, it's momentous times, and it's, in a sad way, we're reflecting on history for, a sad reason, but I think it's healthy that we look back at the past, and we've had D-Day and the opening of the memorial to remind us of the past, and Americans should spend a little bit more time thinking about it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Have a great day, Ken.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. That was Ken Davis. He's the author of the Don't Know Much About series. Don't Know Much About History, also Don't Know Much About the Presidents, Don't Know Much About the 50 States, Don't Know Much About the Solar System, Don't Know Much About Planet Earth, and all all the other ones contained in those volumes. He also is a contributing editor to USA Weekend with the Don't Know Much About Quizzes. He's written for the New York Times, the Weekend Review, Newsday, Washington Post, San Francisco Chronicle, and he's featured in the Walter Cronkite television documentary, American Presidents, The Most Powerful Men on Earth, and he actually appeared in the December 1999 documentary, the A&E documentary, The 12 Apostles, History's Great Revolutionaries. Well, now I want to talk to you out there, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150, talking to you about Ronald Reagan. What do you think the Reagan legacy is? What is it that you remember about Ronald Reagan? We'll discuss that with you. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. We're back after this on AM 1150, KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150, KNRC.
You think I maybe had some Bush's phases? Maybe. I'm a Carrier air conditioner. Isolation lets me focus and keep you comfy. Shoe Dog.
For unmatched expertise, Carrier stands alone. Our air conditioners with Purion refrigerant are energy efficient and environmentally sound. No wonder Carrier's trusted in more homes than any other brand. For a limited time, save up to $1,000 on select Carrier systems. Call 1-800-CARRIER for a dealer near you. Some restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details. Carrier. Turn to the experts.
On Medicare? Want to save on prescriptions? Come into Walgreens and learn how you can save 25% or more with Walgreens Health Initiative's Medicare-approved drug discount card. Discounts vary by drug and pharmacy location. Call 1-800-533-7606 to find out if your prescription drug is covered and the discounted price. Pick up an enrollment packet at Walgreens and get ready to save. This card is approved by Medicare but is not a Medicare benefit. Price comparison based on Walgreens regular pricing as of March 2004.
The 2004 Chautauqua Summer Concert Series is here. Spend a memorable summer night in the historic setting of Chautauqua Auditorium in Boulder and hear great artists from around the world and across the musical spectrum. On Saturday, June 19th, see the legendary John Hyatt at Chautauqua. For complete lineup and tickets, visit Chautauqua.com. The 2004 Chautauqua Summer Concert Series, brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm John Lesher, CNBC Business Radio. A strong start to the week on Wall Street. The Dow is up 130 points. The Nasdaq is higher by 33. Newly confident investors see a further slide in oil prices as an opportunity to buy. Crude futures are trading below $40 a barrel. The first Enron-related criminal trial has been postponed until August after lawyers said the proceedings would last beyond the scheduled 5 weeks. And Martha Stewart's sentencing has been delayed until July 8th to give her lawyers 3 more weeks to try to win her a new trial. The Bush administration wins the victory over labor and environmental groups. The Supreme Court has ruled that the administration can skip an environmental study and open U.S. roads to Mexican trucks as soon as it wants. Boeing shares are at their highest level in more than 2 years amid increasing optimism that the aerospace giant is poised to benefit from a recovery sometime soon in the commercial airline industry. John Lesher, CNBC Business Radio.
How do you help keep health care affordable? By teaming up with physicians and their patients to find new ways to care for chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma. That's what many local Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are doing to reduce medical complications and unnecessary costs. Harvard Medical School has recognized this as a promising way to improve quality and control the rising cost of health care. Learn more at bcbs.com. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association is an association of independent Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
On Medicare? Want to save on prescriptions? Come into Walgreens and learn how you can save 25% or more with Walgreens Health Initiative's Medicare-approved drug discount card. Discounts vary by drug and pharmacy location. Call 1-800-533-7606 to find out if your prescription drug is covered and the discounted price. Pick up an enrollment packet at Walgreens and get ready to save. This card is approved by Medicare but is not a Medicare benefit. Price comparison based on Walgreens regular pricing as of March 2004.
At this time, while our fighting men and women are overseas fighting for our freedoms, let's enjoy this summer. But AM 1150 KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting the terrorists.
Our enemy is a radical network of terrorists and every government that supports them.
KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting terrorism. Thanks for all you're doing. AM 1150 KNRC. To win at anything, you have to be smart.
Long-term responsibility.
You have to be strong, and you have to be prepared.
United States of America.
When it comes to the coverage of Decision 2004,
no station is smarter or better prepared to cover from all sides.
Ongoing operations in Iraq.
The connected and the elected.
Your source for Kerry versus Bush. AM 1150, KNRC.
The American people will be deciding this election.
This summer, keep your radio into the summertime farm talk and information station. We have the best talk in town. Traffic, weather coverage, and the best coverage of the political conventions. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
What was very, very different about Reagan was that he was the only president during the Cold War, and we had both Democratic and Republican presidents during that period. He was the only president during the Cold War who moved away from the policy of containment and had a stated goal of not just holding the communists where they were, but defeating them. I think President Reagan would have reacted in much the same way President George W. Bush has to this challenge that we face today.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:32 here on AM 1150 KNRC. We're going to get right back to the phones here in a second, but I just ran across this weird news item that's when you know that the world is falling apart. Coming out of Beverly Hills, California, Dr. Anthony Griffin, who performed the Brazilian butt lift on the TV program Extreme Makeover, has a brand new surgery. He's calling it the six-pack tummy tuck. Yes, it's the procedure that is going to get rid of the fat in the skin and tighten the abdominal muscles. Dr. Griffin claims it looks like you've done 1,000 sit-ups after he has done this operation, and it's only going to cost you a mere $10,000 or $15,000. Those are some damn expensive sit-ups. I don't know. At that point, just, you know, get on the floor and sweat a little bit. Damn. I don't know. I tell you, when you go to surgery and not have to work out, I don't know. What's this world coming to? 303-382-1150. Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid will return on Monday. And you can also see her at the Paramount Theater this Saturday, June 12th at 8 o'clock. She's introducing Bill Maher. Go to knrcradio.com for more information, more details. And we're going to be giving away some tickets later on. I'm going to jump to the phones. We're going to go to Don in Denver. Don, thanks for calling KNRC. How are you doing today?
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. Man, I haven't been able to talk to you for a while. How have you been?
Fine, man. On such a historic day like this, I got to call and give my take on Reagan.
Absolutely. I would love to hear your take on Reagan.
My mother was a supporter of Jimmy Carter. She worked on his campaign locally in the city we were living in at the time. And I remember when Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter, my mother cried. And at the time, I really didn't understand why she was crying. But then after 8 years of Reagan, I understood why. Because under his leadership, and I've been watching all these glowing tributes all week about Reagan, but nobody's talked about how the poor suffered under Ronald Reagan, especially minorities in this country, black people. In 1980, there was under 200,000 black men that was incarcerated in prisons around this country. And today we have over 1 million, close to 1.5 million African-American men incarcerated in penitentiaries. And large part of that is due to Ronald Reagan's drug policies during the 80s. At the same time when his wife was running around telling people to just say no, his administration under the CIA and other secret entities was shipping drugs into this country and using the money to fund Nicaraguan terrorists called the Contras down in South America. At the same time, the same Ronald Reagan was propping up dictators like Manuel Noriega, Saddam Hussein, and other villains all around the world and supporting their dictatorships. So I'm not a fan of Ronald Reagan, and I think people should focus in on the bad stuff that he did, too.
See, and I think you're right, the Iran-Contra. For me, that's one of the big failures inside of his presidency for a number of reasons. Not only the fact that, and this is the one I've talked about it a little bit, Don, is the idea that when I looked at the TV set, and it really was almost a coming-of-age moment for me when I remember Ronald Reagan standing, you know, in front of the American people saying, I didn't trade arms or anything else for hostages ever. And then a couple of weeks later, he comes out, and I remember this clear as day. I can even remember where I was sitting in my parents' living room watching the TV. I remember sitting there watching it and watching him say, I know a couple of weeks ago I told the American people that I did not trade arms for hostages, and this was the big part, he said, and although my heart still tells me that is true, the facts tell me it is not. And at that point, I went, what? Who?
Right.
Where? And so that was the one that really shattered my image for him, and also his deal with AIDS, I thought was abysmal. I mean, March of 1981, I think, is when we first get the first cases from the Centers of Disease Control talking about AIDS in this country. And it may not have been then. It was right in 81, I believe. And then about, I think it was 87, 6 years later, he finally starts talking about AIDS and talking about the disease. So there are fallacies inside of the Reagan legacy.
Right. And I heard a black... some black Republican neocon conservative on TV the other day talking about Ronald Reagan's civil rights record, talking about wasn't it a tremendous thing how he signed the Martin Luther King holiday into existence. Yeah, only after Coretta Scott King, Jesse Jackson, and other black activists twisted arms, pressured him, went to Washington, D.C., filibustered meetings, all of this kind of stuff, and Ronald Reagan wasn't even down with the Martin Luther King holiday at first. And, you know, like your last guy you had on before, Ronald Reagan was the greatest actor to ever be president, and I feel like that's what they groom in Arnold Schwarzenegger for right now. But you know, if you're going to tell the truth about Reagan, let's tell the truth about Reagan, and you know, and focus in on his treatment of black people in this country. A lot of entitlement programs that were created under the Johnson administration to give assistance to black people who have been held down for 400 years in this country to get us in the mainstream. Ronald Reagan cut programs like Title 19 and other programs that would help poor people, man. So, you know, let's tell the truth about Ronald Reagan, too. Let's tell the other side, the whole thing about communism and all of that, and that's beautiful. But domestically at home, he gave a pass to corporate criminals. The whole culture of corporate criminality right now was predicated by Ronald Reagan, because during the 80s, he allowed corporate thugs to rape the American people, and he held hardly nobody accountable.
Well, I think we can go even further back. I mean, I think corporate thugs have been raping the American people for years and years and years before Reagan. There were some issues as far as Reagan, but also, I mean, Clinton and himself. I mean, do you look at what happened under his watch as well, and first Bush? And I think there, you do make some great points, Don, about the idea of race relations, and especially the war on drugs. The war on drugs, Iran-Contra, and AIDS are the three ones that I really look at Reagan as the failures. And you're absolutely right that the structure put in place with Reagan under the war on drugs did horrible things to the poor populations inside of this country, but also to the prison populations, who we classified as prisoners, why they were classified as prisoners, and where they would go. And that absolutely are some failings. I look at, you know, some of the great things, though, is we did have to refocus on defense spending at that point. And while I don't agree with the idea of when you have to take the money out and go ahead and take the money from social programs and some other welfare programs and put it into military spending, while I don't necessarily support that, especially when we were running these gigantic deficits, I just figured, you know, hey, if we're spending money we don't have, why don't we just spend more money we don't have if we're not really that, if we're not cared about it that much. So that was always an issue for me. But I think that, you know, looking at him is the focal point, and I think he did all of a sudden become the focus of the Oval Office and remake what we thought of a president. And he got things wrong. I mean, he talked about the idea that, again, you know, trees caused most of the pollution. No. He also messed up the idea that intercontinental ballistic missiles can be recalled. Nope, couldn't do that one either. But what he did and how he created the image of the presidency, I think, is still lasting. And that's what I look at. That's what I look at is his legacy, is what he did inside the office. And I think he created an image of a president that many of the other presidents have yet to live up to. I mean, I don't think we'd necessarily hold up Clinton as, you know, the beacon of hope and truth and what we want the presidency to be. And I don't think I'd do that for either one of the Bushes. It's hard to, when you sit down there, every single president does lie to you. And I had that instance during the Iran-Contra, when all of a sudden it hit me smack in the middle of the forehead. Damn, they're all going to lie to me at one point or another. It made me grow up. Well, I'm running just desperately late for a break right now. I'm going to get to all your phone calls after this. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. You want to get in the conversation, 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. We're back right after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
And I've heard this is the man who is going to start the war on talk show hosts that don't go on the right time to the news break. I've heard that he is going to be the first man in the army to make sure that we come about and beat us about the head and shoulders, because obviously I can't tell time. I'm 5 minutes late. I apologize, Tim.
You know what I was thinking? Is what? Maybe I should get like a dollar for every minute you're late.
Huh? You know, that's not a bad idea. I think we will implement that next Monday when Enid returns. We'll make sure that's a policy.
Okay,
thanks. What's going on in news?
Mostly sunny and 97 right now. Firefighters are battling a brush fire in Jefferson.
Jefferson County. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Eastbound I-70 is still running a little on the heavy side from all about Monaco Parkway on out toward I-225. Cause was an earlier injury accident. The rest of the freeway system looking fairly decent. May have a little slowing as you try to get off of southbound I-25 at Colorado Boulevard because of a stall. 40th and Washington, report of an accident. 13th and Santa Fe, a stall. Another one coming in from 6th and Spear. And still one more coming in from Park Avenue West and Broadway. Those may be the first of many stalls that we get to report a little later on this afternoon. NBC's For Love or Money is the sponsor of this report. Tonight is the premiere of last summer's hit, For Love or Money. It's a new twist, though. They don't know if they're playing for $1 million or $1. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
No word yet on how a brush fire started in Jefferson County today. The fire is burning southwest of C-470 in Kipling, west of the Lockheed Martin facility. No evacuations at this point. No injuries have been reported. The U.S. Forest Service is assisting a volunteer fire department in battling that blaze. This report brought to you by Albertsons. The Denver City Council meets this evening and is expected to give its approval to the $1.3 million settlement between the city and the family of Paul Childs, the developmentally disabled teen who was shot and killed by a Denver police officer last summer when the boy refused to drop a knife he was holding. DPD officer James Turney currently on a 10-month unpaid suspension. Investigators from North Metro Fire Rescue have determined that arson was the cause of an early morning fire at a house at 80 Leonard Lane in North Glen. Firefighters were called to the scene about 3:20 this morning, found the garage door had been burned away. Flames were shooting about 30 feet into the air from the garage. Two vehicles parked in the driveway were also heavily involved. All four residents of the home escaped unharmed. Monday is Cheap Chicken Day at Albertsons. 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh fried chicken, only $3.99. Cheap Chicken Day, Mondays at Albertsons, helping make your life easier. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:43.
Need a break from all the breaks on the other talk stations?
Listen.
Hear better talk and more of it.
Talk, speak, conversation.
On AM 1150, KNRC.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. I'm also the owner of a line of styling products with simple names like Clean, Cleaner, Soft, and Softer, which is only fitting since tracking the expenses that go into producing them has become pretty simple itself.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
In a classroom, a group of eager fourth graders sits intently and studies how a cricket makes noise. In back sits a member of the American Institute of Architects, intently studying how fourth graders learn. The best thing you can teach kids is an enthusiasm for learning, and the place to make that happen is in a well-designed school. The sooner you involve an architect, the better the school. AIA, building on your vision. Go to www.aia.org.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, mostly sunny and hot through the rest of the afternoon. Clear skies tonight, we'll drop down to about 60 degrees for tomorrow. Mostly sunny, a little cooler, we'll hit the mid-80s for tomorrow's high. Mostly sunny and 97 now. KNRC News Time is 2:44. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
You know what I find puzzling? Why a woman would pay good money for gorgeous sandals and then wear them with feet that have cracked heels, calluses, and raggedy toenails.
I'm Evelinda Ehrman, and that confused woman you hear is Judy Schwartz, my co-host on Style Matters Live. I have a solution for you, Judy. Salon Mercedes at Orchard and I-25 offers pedicures to fit every pocketbook. They're perfect for the sandal season.
Oh, yeah? What have they got?
The $20 Petite Pedicure, the $40 Pedicure Plus with an Alpha Hydroxy Acid Scrub, the $55 Spa Pedicure with a Salt Glow, and the $60 Mercedes Special with everything plus a free gift. Salon Mercedes treats your tootsies like your whole body should be treated. Lots of gentle rubbing, warm soaking, tender massaging.
Let's not get carried away. Salon Mercedes at I-25 and Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7, Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. 303-741-0606. That's 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
For political junkies like us, Decision 2004 is the Super Bowl. AM 1150 KNRC is going to be your best source of coverage of John Kerry versus George Bush. No one else can do a better job. AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNIC.
Never lost sight of the average citizen's perspective, and his optimism brightened the outlook of a nation.
He was interesting in that when there was no fight, why, he took it easy. When there was a fight, he rose to the occasion.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:46 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. She will return 1 week from today. In fact, you might actually get to see Enid a little bit early if you head down to the Paramount Theater this Saturday. She's going to be introducing Bill Maher. Maher is going to be performing at the Paramount Theater. For tickets, 303-830-8497. 303-830-8497. But if you call that number, you're going to have to pay for them. But if you keep listening to the Enid Goldstein Show here the rest of the week, you're going to get a chance to win tickets free. Yes, we've got some freebies we're going to be giving away later on this week. And one highlight of those free tickets are going to be a pair of front row seats to go see Bill Maher this Saturday the 12th at 8 o'clock at the Paramount Theater. So stay tuned here to AM 1150 KNRC, and we'll tell you how to get those tickets later on this week. Let's jump right back to the phones, talking about Ronald Reagan, his legacy, your thoughts about the man. Let's go to Hal on a cell phone. He held through the break. Hal, thanks a lot for calling AM 1150 KNRC. What are your thoughts about Reagan?
Yeah, Bill, you're back. I'd like to hear you on the air.
Oh, thanks.
You know, there's something else that was kind of edgy. It happened during the Reagan presidency.
Yeah.
And nobody's talked to. One of your earlier callers talked about the connection between Putin and the KGB and the CIA and our former president.
Yeah.
George Bush. Well, he was vice president at the time. And I wonder if you'd heard about during that assassination time when Hinckley shot the president, that George Bush Sr. was actually business partners with Hinckley's father.
Really?
That
I have not heard.
Yeah, you might
want
to check that out.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that one. That's interesting.
And there's another connection that one of that man's employees was the one that shot the Beatles.
Lennon, yeah.
Lennon, yeah.
Yeah.
Right after Lennon had put out a CD that I don't think ever got released about the New World Order.
Oh, wow. Now,
well,
that's kind of strange.
If you do any investigative reporting,
hey, we'll have to look at that. We'll look at that. Now, how, looking at the Reagan presidency, you know, years and years down the road, what do you think the legacy is going to be when they carve up his presidency into, you know, three basic paragraphs that every little school kid is going to have to remember and then eventually get tested on and then forget? What do you think that they're going to say inside of those, you know, three paragraphs or so in the world history
book? Everybody will say that he did a superb job of acting president, and he was a pretty good actor, and he did act the part and did some things. But I think some points that Don brought out that earlier that, you know, some people benefited and most people didn't. You know, a lot of people seriously went south when during his presidency, and that's a point worth remembering, that not all people benefited by his presidency, although I think people were pretty sick of the presidency after Carter, Nixon, and
Carter's given what Nixon had done to the office, and Carter's presidency. While Carter, I think, is a brilliant man, but man, what went on inside of his presidency was just miserable, especially dealing with the economy. And there's not much that I honestly think that Jimmy Carter could have done about that. And then Reagan's economics. I mean, again, you know, there are some fallacies. The idea, he says, that it's an intention to curb the size of government, and at the end of his terms, government spending was actually higher than it was before. As far as a percentage.
Well, that points back to that assassination attempt. I think there was a course correction. I think he was seriously scared, and he did change some of his policies, although we never really heard about it.
Huh.
I'd sure like to know more about that. That's it for me, Bill.
Hey, I appreciate it, Hal. Take care. I appreciate it. Have a good Monday, and be careful. It's getting real hot out there. I'm going to go to Don on a cell phone, chat with him real quick before we hit the other break. I see you there, Martin. We're going to try to squeeze you in as well. Don, thanks for calling AIM 1150 KNRC. How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. What's on your mind about Reagan and the presidency?
Well, you know, I in 1980, I actually voted for John Anderson. There's a name for me.
Wow, man.
But, you know, I ended up serving under Reagan as in the Marine Corps. He was my commander-in-chief for 4 years. And, you know, the one thing I'll never be able to forgive him for is the deaths of 241 of my fellow Marines in Beirut.
That one is. That's one that. But then, again, if we look at what happened inside of Beirut, the first thing that Reagan did is pretty much just pull out. How do you think that affects what we're doing in Iraq right now and Bush? I mean, how does that shape what you're thinking about there?
I don't think Reagan had a choice in pulling out.
Yeah, I probably agree with that.
Just because of the political answer, I mean, he had to. He went in there for the right reasons, I might add, but he had the Marines have their hands tied behind their back while they were over there, which is why that bomb, truck bomb was able to hit them. And that was because of the political situation also. Now, to me, I'm a registered Democrat,
mm-hmm.
but I believe in some very conservative things. My problem with right now, the Democratic Party right now, is that it's too extreme.
Yeah.
And even back then, I mean, Reagan was trying to appease different people and unfortunately ended up showing weakness to the world, and that's what I think people like Osama bin Laden feed off of that.
Yeah, but I think that Reagan, there wasn't necessarily as much of a weakness. I mean, there was some things inside of Reagan, but given how he presented himself to the Soviet Union and some of the covert actions, and even with the idea of the coup, I mean, pretty much, inside the Reagan presidency, he pretty much laid down the law that, hey, in some of the smaller nations, if you guys would go in and run a coup, turn over the government or the presidency of your nation, that's it. That we're cutting off the aid, we're cutting off the funding, you're not getting anything else from America. That's not how you run a country. And I liked that. I thought that was good. Again, we ended up supporting some really nasty men based on that policy, though. Saddam Hussein is one of those that we were absolutely in with him during the Reagan presidency. But, at least we had the idea of trying to stabilize, even if they're horrible governments, the idea of giving a stability to governments because we wouldn't support guys that would go in and, basically hold a coup.
Right, but, at the same time, that's true to a certain extent, but I don't remember the exact date on when the Philippines.
Oh, yes. That is
true. That was actually under Bush, though, wasn't it?
I think it was, but I forget. But you're absolutely right that, there were some things bad and good on both sides that Reagan's remembered for and what his legacy is going to be. And I agree with you. What happened inside of Beirut was a black mark on what had happened. And I keep going back to Iran-Contra for me. Large black mark only because of how it was handled and what was done. I mean, the fact that people will say, he didn't know. Come on. Of course he had to know. And if he didn't, that's a real bad mistake to say that you would put people in power that would do something behind your back that significant. So if he had done that, he had either made a mistake on basically trusting the wrong people and putting them into places of power they shouldn't have been, or he knew about it and flat out lied to us. My thing is, presidents lie. They will lie to you at some point or another. They will look in the camera, and they're going to lie to you. It's a question of what, not when. 303-382-1150. Don, thanks for the phone call. Martin, hang there, man, because I'm going to go to a break. Be right back with you, and I'll take the rest of your phone calls before the top of the hour. 303-382-1150. We're talking about Ronald Reagan. What do you think his legacy is going to be in the history books? 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150, KNRC. I see.
Tired of just surviving life? Then you won't want to miss Franklin Graham's message of hope for your stressed out soul tonight on Denver 7 at 9 p.m.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live, and you know we shop every chance we get.
Yeah, but in your stiletto heels, you keep slowing me down. That's why we shop at Aspen Grove. You can park directly in front of your favorite stores and walk right in.
No more walking long distances back and forth from the stores carrying heavy shopping bags, something we've been known to do.
Or driving through the parking lot praying for a spot. Spend more time shopping at Aspen Grove in Littleton, a beautiful open-air shopping center with some of the best national specialty shops, many that are exclusive to Southeast Metro Denver, such as Gap Body and Coldwater Creek with its casual chic clothing.
Don't forget Pottery Barn and White House Black Market, the only one in Colorado.
And the great Aspen Grove restaurants. I love the buffalo at Ted's Montana Grill.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6. 303-794-0640. That's 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
On Medicare? Want to save on prescriptions? Come into Walgreens and learn how you can save 25% or more with Walgreens Health Initiative's Medicare-approved drug discount card. Discounts vary by drug and pharmacy location. Call 1-800-533-7606 to find out if your prescription drug is covered and the discounted price. Pick up an enrollment packet at Walgreens and get ready to save. This card is approved by Medicare but is not a Medicare benefit. Price comparison based on Walgreens regular pricing as of March 2004.
The Larimer Arts Association presents the second annual La Piazza dell'Arte, June 19th and 20th. The award-winning festival follows 16th century street painting traditions and features more than 200 artists who will spend hours on their hands and knees transforming asphalt into pastel masterpieces of brilliant color and design. Enjoy spectacular artwork, Italian food, beverages, and entertainment. Admission is free. For more information, call 303-685-8143 or visit LarimerArts.org. It's the moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Truth is, doctors nationwide choose the medicine in Advil most for muscle pain, strains, and sprains. For better relief, advance to Advil.
We call it dry talking. Go to our website at knicradio.com and look for details on how you can get a free KNIC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things that are free these days, but you'll find them at knicradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the drive talking coffee mug will be yours. You can even get unlimited coffee refills in your fabulous new KNIC coffee mug at Sugar Beet Cafe. It's just another way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC. When you hear
a talk show host that makes fun of himself,
Doug Kellett is on AM 1150 KNRC.
Tell your wife, your children, anybody who will listen to you.
Afternoons 3 to 6.
I like it.
AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Lineup with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:57 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm going to jump right back to the phones and talk to Martin in Denver. Martin, thanks for calling KNRC. How are you doing today?
All right, not too bad.
Good.
Good to hear you.
Oh, thanks. What's on your mind about Reagan?
Well, I know you got short on time.
That's okay.
I'm going to put it as succinctly as I can. It's
okay.
Probably going to get a lot of people angry. You probably heard it before. But Ronald Reagan was a hypocrite and a pimp. A pimp for the big corporate interests here in this country that were pushing at that time what in essence we're seeing today in terms of multinational corporations basically cleaning house, basically ruining our economy in terms of pushing, you know, this free market economy is the savior and the solution for everything in the universe. He was anti-labor. We saw what he did to the air traffic controllers and all. He was a great actor, as a lot of people have said. He was the perfect person for the people that were really pulling the strings behind the scenes that put him into the White House for 2 terms. And the American people had dumbed down politically after the Vietnam War. The malaise stretched out throughout the whole political
spectrum. I see where you're going with this now, but don't you think that any president is just a pimp for the guys that really got him in office?
No.
No, you don't think Bill Clinton? Yeah, but you don't. I mean, just in recent memory, though, you don't think Bill Clinton was pimping for his guys and Carter for him and Nixon for his guys? I mean, I think that as a whole, the presidency, unfortunately, where we've evolved to, and when you talk about a changing in the presidency and evolving, I think we've evolved to the idea that, yeah, the guy in power is going to pimp whoever put him there, unfortunately. Martin, I wish we had more time to talk about it. Well, I'm Bill Thorpe in for Enid Goldstein. This is KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Rosalind Jordan at the White House. Thousands of people are paying their last respects as they file by the coffin of former President Ronald Reagan. NBC's Kerry Sanders reports from the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California.
Friends and those who feel as if they were connected in some way to Ronald Reagan file past, pray for a moment, pay their respects, and then move on. You can almost hear a pin drop inside.
Later this week, the former president's body will lie in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. President Bush will deliver the eulogy at a funeral service on Friday. Members of Terry Nichols' family are taking the witness stand in the penalty phase of his state murder trial. Nichols was convicted of first-degree murder in the Oklahoma City bombings. The jury will decide whether to recommend death or life in prison. I'm Rosalind Jordan, NBC News Radio.
I'm pretty comfortable being out of control and being uncomfortable. And, yeah, you think you control what's going on around you, but guess what? It ain't all up to you. That's the light going on, that you control what you can control, and you learn how to ride the rest of the stuff with grace.